welcome to podcast Game Over. And the show is just beginning.
What are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
You better get back,
because
it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night.
Hello, and welcome to the Spadewalkers. I'm joined today by Mikkel, Big Bear, and me, Eagle Droppings. We are here today for a spiritual quest into the unknown. But also, we will be joined by Mikkel's brother. His name is Jacob Reads-a-Lot.
Jacob what?
Reads-a-Lot.
Reads-a-Lot.
In the tribe of the Cherokee.
Oh.
We have labeled him as Reads-a-Lot. But you are the Big Bear, and I am Steven Eagle Dropping. That is my name because it is what I am. My spirit animal is Eagle Dropping.
Dropping.
Many droppings have come up from thus far over the mountain. But today, it is a different story.
Today, we're going to talk about ancient cultures with
psychedelics,
and all those hallucinogenics they use to evolve their spirituality and forming of the nations.
Både fremstillet og meditation og hvad hedder de flotation tanks og så videre, alt sammen er psychedelics for din DMT kirtel.
Exactly, which we'll be talking about again, and because we've had some people who are actually interested in hearing more about DMT, ayahuasca, and all those things, so it's kind of a sequel to the past episodes that we kind of touched upon, and then when we had the special ayahuasca special, this is the sequel to it.
Det folk, de var helt oppe og ringe over, så man kunne næsten ikke andet end give folk det, de gerne vil have.
We had a good show that.
Men vi har også en spilanmeldelse.
We do.
Fra mig, jeg har spillet Far Cry 3 og gennemført det.
And it is also tied in with everything today.
Og det er lidt tied in, fordi der er noget kultur, og der er nogle stammefolk, som tager spirituel medicin og tripper og tatoveringer med betydninger og ting og sager.
And we will be talking about Native Americans. We'll be talking about the South American natives, Aztecs and Incas, briefly, because there's a huge nation. There's a 500 nations if we're going to take everyone. So we're just going to take some of the more known ones and venture out into the what ifs and ask questions and talk about it. So we'll see where we can go. But we're going to start this show by you giving a pretty good review of.
Ja, Far Cry 3 har jeg så spillet.
Cool. On the Xbox.
På Xbox selvfølgelig. Altid Xbox. Det jeg kan få eksklusivt til PlayStation, skal jeg have til PlayStation resten.
Which also you might as well mention, you are now a owner of.
Ja, owner. Jeg hedder Slammer8230 til jer, der vil finde mig og prøve at battle mig i DC Universe.
Yeah, me too. And mine is DRD 1204.
And that makes no sense.
It doesn't, but at the time I was too excited to come up with anything creative. I should have thought more about it, but whatever.
Men vi starter Far Cry med at se, der kører den der, all I wanna do is bang, 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 and take your money. Den må du godt finde, imens jeg anmelder.
That's nice. Is that the music for the game, or is that
spiller i starten, du ved, og så ser man, man er ude og kitesurf, og man er på klub, og alt er fedt, og du ser alle dine venner, du ved, du er afsted med dine brødre, og deres kæreste, og din egen kæreste, du hedder selv Jason Brody, jeg kan ikke lige huske, hvad alle dine venner hedder. Men du ser alt, der er bare good times og sådan noget, og så vågner du op, hvor du sidder i et bur, bundet fast sammen med din bror i sådan en slavelejr. Hvor at Vaas, som er højrehånden til Hoyt, som er leder på de to øer, Ruka, tror jeg det hedder stedet, eller sådan et eller andet. Og du er så taget til fange, og din bror er eks-militærmand, så han kommer hurtigt fri, og I begynder at stikke af sammen. Og i det, som I er lige ved at komme ud, så bliver din bror skudt, og Vaas, han ser dig og beder dig om at run, Forrest, run, siger han til dig, hvor du får ekstra antal tid til at stikke af. Og så løber man ud igennem junglen, og så spillet ligesom sat i gang derfra.
What kind of game would you compare this to?
Altså, det er first-person shooter adventure, so, RPG-agtig, fordi
it's
du
not, upgrader not, nothing
og...
like Uncharted, or... It's ah, more like...
Eller jo, det er Uncharted, hvis du ser det indenfra, ikke? Fordi det er, du ved, store jungleområder, og der er nogle templer og ødelagte ruiner, du kan finde.
But do you see a character, or is this like Dead Space, nej, where you just like
walk
around?
Du ser ikke din character, men... Men det, jeg godt kan lide ved det, som ikke er i de fleste andre film, det er, at du kan se hans fødder og hans hænder.
Oh.
Altså, det er tit, hvis du kigger ned i et first-person shooter-spil, så er yeah. du sådan helt tomt, du ved, du svæver rundt. Mm-hmm. Sådan, hvis du hopper ud fra en for høj afsats, så falder du, og du sådan, så kan du se kroppen, og han skal rejse sig, og mm-hmm. det er super fedt lavet på den måde.
Mm-hmm.
Så møder du en gut, der hedder Dennis, der bor i, Anarchy Village, eller sådan et eller andet, mm-hmm. som er hovedsædet for Rakiat-folket, som er dem, der bor på øen, som er sådan et bestemt stammefolk. Jeg ved ikke, hvad man kan sammenligne dem med. Altså, jeg tror, det er sådan noget ala Maurier og Azteker og sådan noget, du ved. Med, man får, jo mere du upgrader, at du vågner, efter du er stukket af fra ham, der, så vågner du ved, at du ligger ved at få en tatovering af ham, du så møder, Dennis. Og så fortæller han til tatoveringen, der er The Spider og the Shark og et eller andet, og det er de forskellige ting, du kan upgrade med. Spider, det er, hvor sneaky du er, og Shark, det er, hvor meget du kan tage og sådan noget, ikke? Og så går det ligesom i gang derfra, at du finder ud af, at Vars, han har kidnappet resten af dit hold, og dem vil du så finde, og dem skal du så ud og finde en efter en med hjælp fra dem, samtidig med, at du upgrader og bliver mere integreret i Rakiat-folket.
Was this available for the PlayStation as well?
Ja, og PC cool. også. Det er super nice. Altså, du kan paraglide, du kan køre både, du kan køre biler, du kan køre ATV'er, du får sådan en fly suit, du ved, sådan en
nice! Oh, I love those.
Så du bare kan løbe, så kan du hoppe, og folder den ud, og så flyver du lige halvdelen af
øen. I would igennem. Love to try that, man.
Det er rigtigt. Det minder meget om Just Cause, bare som first person.
Right.
Det er præcis samme miljø og krystal, altså. Så svømmer du så ud i havet, og så er der fucking hajer, der kommer. Og så er der jagt. Du ved, jagtmissioner, hvor du jager, og så upgrader du din kanylesæt, så du kan have flere kanyler til medicin. Og du kan brygge dit eget shit, så du er bedre til jagt, eller bedre til action. Du kan modstå ild, og du kan dykke længere. Og sådan
so all those potions and
det er noget, du selv laver ved at plukke planter og blande.
Is that kind of where you want to lead the game into? Maybe the
på en eller anden måde, men det, der er det psykedeliske i det, det er, at du bliver mere og mere integreret i det der Rakiat-folk. Og de prøver, du skal have og tage ved sådan en pige, der hedder Citra, som er fucking lækker. En computerfigur.
So a vision quest they want you to go on.
Ja, altså der er flere gange man drikker et eller andet, du ved, for the spirit bla bla bla, og du slår sig mod sådan en kæmpe monster, hvor du render og tripper.
Cool.
Og hver gang du slår sig mod bosser, så er det en eller anden form for trip, du ved, og du bliver mere og mere predator-agtig, du ved, animalsk og...
So would you say that you revert into this we would classify it in modern culture as a primitive state?
Yeah,
The question is it really primitive? But
yeah,
does it become more in tune
jo,
with?
Du gør det jo for at redde din familie og dine venner, og dem, hvor du så redder dem sådan lidt hen ad vejen, de kan se, at du er blevet anderledes, og hvad sker der med alle dine tatoveringer, hvorfor har du alle de våben der, og lad os nu bare komme hjem og sådan noget, men du bliver mere og mere en del af folk,
og tribal.
Hende der Citra, hun har nogle ting at sige, du ved.
Is she like a guide or something?
Ja, altså hun er ikke... Jeg ved ikke, om hun er en spirit guide, decideret. Men altså, det er takket være hende, at du kommer ind til folket og får drukket det, som du nu drikker.
Mm-hmm.
Og så når du så tripper, så ser du ting, som du ikke har set endnu, og det møder du så senere i spillet og sådan noget. Så det har lidt med visions og reality at gøre.
That's cool.
Så altså, ja, det er sådan set, at i runde tal, det drejer sig om. Altså,
how far are you
fortælle,
in the game?
Jamen, jeg er færdig.
You're finished with the game, and you really like the game.
Helt vildt. Jeg skal gennemføre det igen. Fordi du står over for to forskellige valg til sidst. Og jeg tog så det ene. Skal prøve det andet bagefter.
Nice. I love games that have alternate endings, depending on your choices.
Jeg har lidt på fornemmelsen, at uanset hvorfor en beslutning du tager, så sker nogenlunde det samme, tror jeg. Så kan folk så give mig ret i, hvis de har lyst. Det kan jo altid skrive.
yeah, you know.
Men uden at afsløre alt for meget, så er det sådan set i rundetal, det går ud på. Du ved. Så
I really do enjoy games that are creative in that sense. Yeah. And I've, like we've talked about this many times before, but it definitely seems as if games are reaching far beyond what films can do now.
Jamen præcis, det snakker vi også om med Assassin's Creed, der vandt en fucking Grammy, ikke?
Altså, det er jo... It was a BAFTA award.
BAFTA, ja, okay, yeah. Men det
which
er
is,
også sindssygt.
You know, oh!
Au!
Så, use the force!
At du har prøvet det før, ikke?
Ah!
Ja, vi sidder
lige,
ja, i gang med noget Far Cry.
How?
How? Ni how?
How?
Nej, det var sidste episode.
No.
Today,
goddag.
This is the Native American style.
Oh.
We have labeled you as Jacob Reads a Lot.
Yes.
And here we have
Mikkel
Big Bear. And I am Stephen Eagle Droppings. And hello and welcome, Necehe.
Again?
Necehe, it's very good to have you, eh?
Necehe.
Necehe means friend.
Jeg tager lige noget vand til
starten. Ja, værsgo.
And you're always welcome to some free water.
Yeah,
we'll bill you later.
Men hvor kom vi til?
You just finished with the...
Yeah, og du sagde, så det går over i filmen.
Exactly, that we were talking about Far Cry 3 and how we've talked about this before, that it seems that games have a tendency of reaching far beyond what films can produce these days with the message and experience, because films are not interactive. It's only as much as you can get away with in your mind. But when you're playing it, you're learning things. And you're being driven to learn something because you have to accomplish certain things.
Yeah.
And the message within the games can often lead you to very interesting results. Even for a gamer, they would sometimes find themselves with choices they would normally not think about because the game demands it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way you told me that certain potions would help you elevate to a certain degree to accomplish missions or tasks.
Afhængig af om du vil jage, så brygger du jagemedicin. Afhængig af om du skal ned og dykke og finde en masse undervandsplanter, så brygger du sådan noget.
I actually had something I wanted to mention to kind of like lead in this whole topic that obviously it's about ancient cultures, Native Americans, and
psychedelics.
And this is a really nice one that I want to read out from. This is Native American wisdom, and you cannot read out this without trying to at least sound like one.
Okay.
So let me.
You got us, my lord.
I try. All right.
Me and my horse. The earth and myself are of one mind. The measure of the land and the measure of our bodies are the same. This was read by Joseph from 1830 to 1904, the Nez Perez chief. Now we talk about this in a broader stroke, and one day you come to my sweat hut, you, me, and my horse. We have good time.
I'm in the sweat hut now.
We will share the pipe and see visions of naked ladies dancing around the fireplace.
Sounds exciting.
It always is. A little peyote.
Me and my horse.
I give some peyote to my horse.
Well,
he thinks it's a mule.
This was actually written from... where is that now? I lost it. You had to ask.
Too much in character.
I'm too much. I read one thing in, one side, out the other.
It was by Joseph Hinmaton Yalatakti. So I can't pronounce that. But from 1830 to 1904, Nez Perce chief. Sorry, not Perez, but Ner. Yeah, I said it. You know, whatever I said before, that was what it was. I'm not going to try again. It's a really good book, and I've had that for many years.
It's
wisdom. It's sayings from different, everything from Geronimo to the real characters, and there's some really nice pictures too.
Okay.
And I've always been fascinated because I know that a lot of people were really into like cowboys.
Mm.
You know, the whole cowboys and Indians.
Mm.
Well, I was the Indian. I love the Indian. I wanted to think about how Indians were, Native Americans. And cowboys never really fascinated me that much. They seem primitive and brutal.
Yeah,
okay.
Where they are some more spiritual aspect.
Yeah, because exactly. Yeah.
And
there's
it's my land.
Exactly.
It's my buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make burgers out of that, you goddamn redskin son bitch. Now, you better like it, or otherwise I'm gonna kill you.
Some beads and some casinos.
Yeah, I'm gonna take your wife and I'm gonna call her Lolita. I'm gonna ride her like a mule.
So yeah, thank you, America. I always had this fascinating vision as a kid. What if, you know, America today would be just Native Americans, the 500 nations living under one, and in our time? Can you imagine how would that be?
Det er svært at tænke på.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But it would be fascinating to imagine what they would be like today.
Det ville bare være natur, tror jeg.
But what if they became technologically advanced?
Yeah.
What would they become like?
Jeg ved det ikke.
Because there were the there were the Cherokee, there were the Hopi, there were the, you know,
Sioux,
and all those. I mean, some were aggressive and some weren't. And how would that lead into like 200 years of constant?
På det plan at du kommer på mit område, så du skal forsvinde.
Yeah,
det var
but
ikke bare.
Well, there were general there were some who was actually really forceful and in coming into territories and taking over.
Okay.
But
det vil der vel altid være.
Yeah. But there was one in specific that was very, very aggressive. I remember that. Those are the ones who had like painting like half of their face black and stuff like that. So they were very different.
Apache, måske.
I think maybe. I don't remember.
Dem der fra The Last of the Mohicans.
Exactly. There you go. You remember that one? They were very. They were like the ones from the Incas. Remember the Apocalypto? There was that other group who were really like savage.
Men det er jo også dem der sådan er lidt mere moderniseret faktisk. Altså i hvert fald i Apocalypto. Der er jo dem. Altså dem der bor ude i skoven eller i junglen. Det er jo fredeligt der. Yeah. Og så kommer dem der inden for storbyen, hvis man kan kalde det.
Det kan man jo også, fordi du kan jo se, at det ser jo både forurenet ud og overpopulated og altså.
Skal de have nogle hearts?
Yeah, yeah, I really I love that film, by the way. It is amazing. Yeah, I love
man,
that film.
Ja, den er vild. Det er underligt, den ikke har taget mere fat.
But it's one of those things, though, that when we talk about ancient cultures, the stigma, I think, that is connected to every conversation is anything old must be dumber.
Yeah.
and anything that doesn't, you know, isn't governed by a remote control or a smartphone has to be less evolved. And I'm
vi tager et perfekt eksempel med de der dukkerne, ikke?
Exactly.
De kan læse stjernebilleder og sådan noget, som vi ikke engang vidste var der for dengang, ikke?
Hvad for nogen?
The Dogon people. It's a African tribe who is extremely visually extremely primitive to the Western culture, right?
Okay.
They live in huts
and stjerne,
well, they were worshipping the star system Sirius.
Yeah.
And they were referencing in their paintings and folk tales, which is thousands of years old,
to know that we first
to a binary. I think it was a binary star, but if it wasn't a binary star, it was definitely a star system with one star that was not visible to us until recently, where we were actually seeing with telescopes that could shift the spectrum of yeah, it was a different star system that is not visible to the naked eye. But they knew about
it. Har de skrevet om, eller
and they were referencing it as the place of origin.
Dogon,
the Dogon. It's in Africa, in close to Mali, I think.
Yeah, one of them, yeah.
Some yeah. But we actually I think
Malawi.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Could be, did I have
det tror jeg det var Malawi.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the notes here. But yeah, well.
Og det er ikke dem der har noget med Pagtens Ark at gøre, vel?
No.
Nej, har du ikke hørt om det?
I have actually.
Ja, okay.
And also the whole Black Genesis thing as well. But it is interesting that the way we perceive ancient cultures is always by us putting us above everyone else, expecting us to be more advanced, while everything they've done is far more advanced than what we're doing daily.
Jamen, altså, når du ser på de ting, de har konstrueret, og altså,
if you take that, just that, simple,
det,
But I think there's two types of advancements of mankind, and I'm thinking the technologically advanced is ruining the natural advancement.
Yeah, yeah.
Lately, and this is what we're going to, I guess, follow into, like many other topics from now on, but one I want to lead into, obviously, is the psychotropic elements to the advancements of the shamans' help to make young warriors and young people find their true paths, right?
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to just jump in and say that the Amazons were using ayahuasca, because that's not how it was, always. And ayahuasca, as we mentioned in the ayahuasca special, was indigenous to the Amazon. But in Europe...
Blending as bestemt a planter, right?
Exactly. But in Europe, they were not accessing anything even remotely as advanced as ayahuasca. They didn't have that. So what they had... And we're talking about Stone Age almost. Here in Europe, were mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what was available to them then.
Sylla.
Yeah. And it's strange to kind of try to put it in perspective how all these ancient cultures, and time-wise, Stone Age, if you want to take it that far back, all shared these specific elements of hallucinogenics, something that opened up their third eye, which I mentioned before the show was an amazing discovery I found on the internet.
That
I was. I mean, let me correct this. I didn't find this. I found it online, but I was shocked how accurately it resembles something that is unique. Now, just to make something clear, the pineal gland in the brain is where DMT... I'll put up the picture. It's right here. The pineal gland is where, in very, very primitive creatures, even like lizards, actually is referred to as the third eye. Even in humans, it's referred to as the third eye. It's where it comes from. But in animals... It's not just third eye in the sense that it's the same as the pineal gland.
Instinct.
It's if you dissect it and keep it alive by, you know, having it open surgically and flash something on it like a light beam, it reacts. So in the lizard, it is actually still very light sensitive. But in humans, it isn't. However, it serves as a different purpose now. It's not just a third eye as it used to be in real context. It's mentally now.
Mm.
So the third eye, I'm going to show you this picture.
The eye of Horus.
The third eye, the thalamus, where it is, located the pineal gland. Eye of Horus, as you remember, looks like this.
Yeah.
But when you cut the brain in half, you have something that looks exactly depicting the same one, right?
Yeah, I could see the ability.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looks great as a design, and you would think, well, then, you know...
Men spørgsmålet er så også, havde du set det, hvis man ikke havde haft det billede der ved siden af? Altså, ligesom du ser en Jesus i en klat smør på en toast, ikke? Altså.
But then, let me just... Because I need to make sure people know what we're looking at. To the audience, Eye of Horus, the Egyptian... what do you call these? Hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
Are in fact stylish, and we all know the eye. However, the way it's drawn, it's unnecessary to have these curves. But then if you look at the cut brain, it does resemble it. And it isn't just a random place in the brain, it is the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unique.
Altså, det kan jo også være, at Egypterne har kuttet folk op, de var rimelig gode til obduktioner, og så har lavet det efter det.
Det sad jeg nemlig også og tænkte,
at
det giver de god mening, at det er dem, der har lavet det der.
Du trods alt trækker en hjerne ud igennem næsen.
Så må det ikke godt, de har flækket et par
Oh, I'm sure that the human curiosity has led them to do many horrible things. Nazis. Dr. Mengele. What is that on your table? It is a lamp. It is made out of human skin. You like? It smells like it too. Barbecue? So it is. It has always had this bizarre connection to everything that in the past was so much more naturally connected that we're rediscovering.
Mm.
Like in Greece, in ancient times, they had sewer system in the toilets.
Yeah.
And then it was lost for a couple of thousands of years. And then people had to rediscover that shit. And then people are like, oh my God, we are so advanced.
Shit in porcelain?
it's The rediscovery today signals to me that somehow, in the old days, we all got collective amnesia. We forgot everything.
Ja, hvad for skete et eller andet?
Something. If we're gonna classify humanity as a patient that has psychological problems,
så skal vi i hvert fald indlægge snart.
We are resembling and we're emitting many of the things that a psychologically damaged person is doing. One is exactly what we said. If you have a traumatic experience, you will have memory gaps. You will forget things. You will deny things. Mm. You'll become less coherent in your reasoning and logic. And this is what we're doing as a race. We're completely doing things that are so absolutely stupid. You cannot believe that we come from the same gene pool.
Men det er jo også det, de snakker meget om, dem der nu snakker om de her ting her. Sådan en som Graham Hancock for eksempel, som du og hele, som vi alle sammen godt kan lide. Men det er jo også det, yes, der med at jamen, hvis for så mange tusind år siden, altså hvis der så sker de der store begivenheder, du ved, og der er tusind mennesker der kommer videre fra den der begivenhed, jamen, hvordan får de så formidlet det altså videre frem i historien? Altså der går så meget tabt.
Yeah. And as you do know that the Native Americans have many of them don't have written language.
Nej.
And I think that was because they found out the importance of talking. Because when you tell someone first-hand experience and then, you know, so on and so on, you give the emotion, which I've always believed that we have this unique ability that doesn't exist in writing, is that when I tell you something I'm very thrilled and excited about, something I'm so hyped up about, it's that you normally wouldn't be, then it is contagious.
Yeah.
You get excited too because I'm excited, but you wouldn't normally because it doesn't really mean anything. But when I tell you this, it suddenly sounds better.
You know, and hvis jeg skulle læse om det.
Exactly. Altså, or the fear in my voice would make you worry about something.
Shit,
yeah. So I think this, I don't know, some different sensory organ kicks in that kind of picks up someone's mood, because the truth is, up in our nose, there is still that gland that picks up certain things, like women in the old days and men could smell whether or not they were compatible or there was something that felt right. Of course, today and these days are just like everybody smells like mango and peach. But you know, today you
ja, men det trigger stadigvæk det eller andet, hvis der cykler en eller anden pige forbi eller går en forbi og man bliver ramt af det der, så
vender man om og
kommer løven op i en.
Well, yeah, but then, you know, is the lion on the hunt for groceries or for a woman? If she smells like mango and peach, maybe you become differently charged, you know. The objective is not as natural as someone...
Jeg bliver da sulten på hende. Altså, jeg bliver da ikke sulten på mango eller ferske.
No, I'm not saying that you would, but in your head, you are first... It's like a translator. In your head, the first reaction is, I gotta do something.
Mm.
But you got so used to that because it's on a woman, obviously it's not a fruit, that you connect it to a woman, this smell. Obviously when it's passing by a person, right? But if it wasn't there in the old days, it would connect you right away to the origin, and you would understand there's something about this woman. Something feels right. Exactly. But the pheromones are picked up through your nose. That gland is still there.
Det er ikke sådan noget, du kan lugte. Det er bare sådan noget, der...
No, it's something in your nose that just picks up. And you know, sometimes, same when people kiss, and the saliva and the pheromones comes out here, and it connects, and it makes the connection easier because the compatibility
works. Det kan du
works.
Også med forgotten memories og sådan noget, du ved. Hvis du lige pludselig dufter bakbrød eller andet, så kan du huske et eller andet fra den gang.
So, but we don't think that. We don't think about these things on a daily basis because we're there's noise pollution. There is sensory pollution in general. Because when we walk around, you know, maybe you pass a fucking sewer and then you have, like, you know, horrible experience of remembering some crap, right? But...
Literally.
But the point is that we have sensory organs that are still active today. And the same applies to the third eye. But sensory overload today inhibits us We can't do these things because it takes too much effort. Mm. And everything we deal with on a daily basis takes us out of this simple, natural way of communicating with life. And I think you all have this moment of, I'm sure you've all had it, where everything is just so simple and perfect. Doesn't matter how you get to that point. It doesn't last long because then the interfering thought, which in this case is the ego, mm-hmm. kicks in. Starts to analyze things. Starts to try to break it down. Because when we start breaking down certain things, it's only because we're in a very unnatural state. This is not how we're supposed to live. Mankind is not supposed to constantly judge and examine everything the way we do it. We're supposed to do that on a natural basis, but not this way. You know, when you get a newspaper that says 2 for 1, and they have to fucking calculate, I'm only saving 20 cents or something, right? It's always, you have to do the judging all the time. You can't have 5 minutes in peace because, like you, we're getting ready for the show. And you had to kind of get ready for that learning of new things and whatever you want to do, right? That's all natural. That's normal. Yeah. But if it was something that you had to do for the government or the council, it's crap you don't want to deal with, but you have to.
Synes jeg også, det har en tendens til at hænge lidt sværere, hvis du ved. Altså, hvis det er sådan noget med, nu skal du lige...
You know, there's a saying that we talked about not long ago with people who are being labeled as ADHD or ADD who get this questionnaire and ask, if you can't concentrate...
Maya, for example.
Yeah, well, the question is, if you can't concentrate on things you don't like, you get fidgety, right? That's apparently a symptom. I'm sorry to burst whoever came up with that bubble,
but
that applies to everybody. You know,
så sagde, det blev nemlig sagt, at normale mennesker kan godt lave noget, der ikke interesserer dem.
Normal is a subjective term these days.
Det er normal.
Well, the definition of normal is what everyone else is and you're not. But then if there's if everyone is doing the same stupid shit and you're the only one who doesn't, but yet you're doing it right, then apparently everyone who does it wrong is the right thing to do. Right?
Right.
So that kind of mentality and thinking is what is fucking up the nation.
Men altså nu det der med, som Mikkel siger, han har fået sådan et skema, jeg sad og kiggede på det skema, og jeg tænkte, er det for noget? Altså, de fleste af de der folk, der er selvfølgelig nogen, vi har en kammerat, der har ADHD, og han...
Men
altså,
det er jo også bare tydeligt, ikke?
Det er altså, tydeligt, hvis,
når han er fri for arbejde, Jesus Christ, ikke? Han kan snakke et øre af, jeg skal lige løbe en tur,
jeg synes, det er blevet så nemt.
You know
så får du den der,
exactly.
du er sådan der, du, altså, hvor er det lidt, måske,
and who
hvis
do
du
brugte
noget tid på, sådan bare sidde og snakke, du ved, et par timer,
exactly.
Kan det være, at den der label, den kunne tages af, du ved.
I think the label is heavily sponsored by the medical company.
Lige præcis. Altså,
because
du ser alle de der folk, alle de der Hollywood-stjerner, der dør, Heath Ledger og alle mulige dør, og de har alle sammen, så har de pille til at stå op på, en pille til at holde sig kørende på, og en pille til at gå i seng på.
Yeah.
Ja, men det kan kroppen godt ikke holde.
And to be honest, the best
pille, hvis du er glad.
The best way to figure out if you are suffering from real ADHD or ADD, which, and for whoever doesn't know, is attention deficit disorder or attention hyperactivity. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? ADHD, the best way to figure out if you have it is when you realize that you can't complete long sentences. It is when you start talking and you don't really make sense because you're speeding up the conversation and you're not finishing it, and yet... You just don't sound coherent. Mm. When that happens, then you have an issue. But even that, I wouldn't say is ADHD. I'm going to say that's stress.
Yeah.
That's mental stress.
Ja, eller nervøsitet. Altså, kan det sgu da også være, at du rambler, fordi du ikke ved, hvad du vil sige.
Yeah.
Det er det samme.
But people are like shooting from the hip, saying, oh, I'm going to diagnose you with ADHD. It's easier. Here's Ritalin. Enjoy.
Tak. Tag noget amfetaminpræparat.
Yeah. And the issue I have with it is they're taking this and creating many more problems with it. They're damaging our chromosomes, our DNA, they're building on our genetic memory and altering our future offspring.
De går for at behandle det, ikke for at kurere det.
Altså, dengang da jeg gik i skole, var der i hvert fald ikke noget, der hed ADHD.
Det var der fandme heller ikke, da jeg...
Der var du urolig.
Og ja, så... der havde man krudt. Åh, han har godt nok krudt i røven, og svært ved at sidde stille. Ja. Punktum. Han er en god dreng, der godt kan lide
mig. And what was... Exactly. And what was the remedy? Go out and play.
Ja, gå ud, og i stedet for at smadre vores hus. Yeah. Det var i hvert fald altså, det, vi fik at vide om
det. Jeg vil så sige, at der er helt sikkert nogen, det hjælper, det der Ritalin der.
Yes, I wouldn't...
Men unge mennesker på 12-13 år, altså...
No, that's extreme.
Der er børn på 5 år, der får sådan nogle piller der. Det udlykker... hvad hedder det? Er det HDMI? Hvad hedder det? Det ødelægger deres mentalitet også. Yeah. Altså, hvis du får sådan nogle stoffer, for du 5 år, så udvikler din hjerne sig, ikke?
The biological and chemical reactions that initiate the growth in kids would be non-existent because they're inhibited by these pills. The natural evolution is blocked.
Det er også derfor, man heller ikke skal prøve psychedelics eller sådan noget, når du ikke er udviklet.
An undeveloped mind is extremely fragile.
Jamen, og det er jo sjovt, det der, som du siger, det der med, hvad gjorde man før i tiden? Hvad gik man ud for at lege, du ved?
Exactly.
Og hvad gør altså, det, jeg ved ikke, hvor mange træer jeg har klatret i, og hvor mange træer jeg har slået til med pinden, og vi har hoppet rundt og kastet med æbler. Yeah. Og du ser det jo fandme sjældent, jeg ser sådan... Altså unge på de der 6-7 år, der render rundt og leger på den måde, som jeg synes, jeg legede, da jeg var knejet. Altså. Nu er det nemlig tit det der...
Nu er der jo Kinect. Nu kan du være aktiv foran din konsol, jo. Og tage noget Ritalin.
Yeah, as long as the batteries are lasting. But it's true, and on this topic, I'd like to bring you back to Native Americans and the ancient cultures.
Yes.
The shamans... had a very special and peculiar way of guiding people in their tribe. What they usually did was to send these young people who were about to get into that age group where they need to discover themselves.
To have a man.
To becoming a man. Mm-hmm. They send them on vision quests.
Mm-hmm.
The Native Americans had many types. One was to send them out for 3 days, 3 nights without food, water, and meditate in a really tough environment that could be in the winter or extreme heat. And I don't think there would be many who would die unless they were sick to begin with.
Okay.
But the point is that the moment they feel that the body's going to give out and give into this whole thing, the DMT kicks in.
Mm.
And then they're going to have vision. In the old days, the vision was obviously animal related because they were very sensitive to the creatures around them. So the spirit guide would come and tell them what kind of animal they are. And if they were used to being strong and the families always talked about bears and how important it is,
then the
spirit animal would become a bear or something surprising because maybe the representation, and this is one really important topic I also want to bring up, is the anthropomorphic views on how you relate to things. In that sense, like today, you would maybe connect yourself with a superhero because that's what it is in the culture.
Mm.
But in the old days, but in the old days, because the mind was always in a frame of what they were preaching or talking about, it would be animal.
Mm.
It was more nature and it was more clean and simple. So the young warrior would be up on a hilltop, and this vision would come to them. And then they know, because DMT is unlike anything you can imagine, in the sense that it doesn't tell you suggestively that this is what
could be.
No, nothing. There's those that are gone up on the hill, the starvation, dehydration, and lack of sleep.
They got kroppen en udskiller.
There's a defense mechanism that kicks in that says you're past the surviving mode. Now apparently we're close to death.
Yeah.
So DMT kicks in. They get the vision quest. They get the message. Then they go back as a changed person. Because what usually happens to any human being who has been really close to death, and we're talking about a near-death experience, mm-hmm. or they died, is they have a DMT trip. And in that vision... everything is summed up perfectly, tailored to your mind to understand this is what you have to change. then you do it.
Right.
It's not like you sit and suggestively some spirit says, you know, it could be kind of cool if you stop smoking. It could be kind of cool. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to take my word for it, but, you know, it's gonna... Every human being has the magic word that is...
Oklahoma!
Like a specific password to opening up to that gateway into your mind that just puts things in order.
Er det noget, man selv ved, eller
no, you don't know that, but in a DMT trip, your mind presents it to
you.
You know, it might sound silly, but it can be for someone, a horse, a talking horse that comes and tells them, you have to do this. And you believe in that's it, that's all you need it.
Yeah.
But it feels spiritual, but it's because it links you with the greater being, which is your memories and past memories and whatever.
Genetic
memories. Everything that was you, that one point, it just tailors to you and says the magic words, and you change. Mm. And it is people who have had these near-death experiences, people who are dying. Mm. And now you can ask the bigger question, is this just something that is inherently the same with every human being? Well, I can give you an example. If you buy a PC, this is a bad example, but if you buy a PC and a Mac, they both come with different operating systems, right? But the tasks that they can do are the same. The hardware is our body, right? So depending on the hardware, you know, some people are born a little bit frail and can't really be the supercomputer in speed and whatever, but the operating system is the same. What you build on top of it, the installed applications in this case, dictate how you become. And I think the alteration of those base elements is what creates us as individuals. But the baseline is the operating system. Everyone shares the same operating system. Because when you're all in the Vision Quest, especially with the ayahuasca, which is unique, they have this amazing thing where they all share the serpent vision.
Right. That is how I feel.
Totally different cultures and backgrounds have nothing to do with each other, yet they all experience the same thing. So that alone suggests that there's something in us all that we share. The base operating system. You can call it consciousness, you can call it whatever you want, but at the base core of it all, we communicate naturally. Now, I'm not going to say that it has magical elements, but I think for the person itself, it's your only salvation to whatever's damaged in you. Because that goes back and resets things to how it should be.
Det er i hvert fald det, man hører, ja. For folk, der har oplevet det.
Yeah. So I think one of those things, and this was just Native Americans, but they also have peyote. They also have many others. They have the sweat huts. It's all pushing the person.
Ja, alle kaktuser, yeah.
So they all experiment on getting to the edge where DMT kicks in, or just a little bit, enough for them to get the visions. And, you know, the question would be, obviously, is there something beyond this? Are we tapping into something unique? Is this Mother Earth? Is it Gaia we're communicating with? Or is it a collective that we all share? Is there a mainstream, is there a stream of consciousness that we are walking around and we're influencing each other? Or is it just a vision that we all kind of have?
Det er jo igen, det er jo hvad man selv vil fortolke det til. Det kan jo også være ligesom den der Prince of Darkness, hvor at du ryger ind på en eller anden frekvens, når du tripper, så et eller andet længere væk eller
it's good that
en
you
højere enhed kan kommunikere, fordi du er.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the frequency,
hvad man nu kan sige, du
because
du
we all do have
frequency. Kroppen på en eller anden plan. Der er tit man ser sig selv ryge ud, og så kigger du på dig selv. Har jeg da i hvert fald hørt mange sige. Også,
exactly.
Og jeg har ikke selv prøvet det.
Men altså, det, ja, fordi altså, vi har nogle kammerater, der laver musik og kreativ, du ved, skriver musik og sådan noget. Og det er nemlig, det sad vi også og snakkede om her for noget tid siden. At nemlig det der med, at man kan sætte sig ned, og nu skal jeg skrive et eller andet, og så lige pludselig så, boom, så taber man ind, og så begynder man at skrive,
exactly.
Og så kører det. Og det er sådan lidt, hvor kommer det derfra? Hvad er det, altså,
you know
er
that,
det en frekvens, man tuner ind på?
Exactly, eller, you know that thing that you use for tuning? That little forky thing? Yeah. Sometimes you just hit that frequency, and then it's just like an arrow. Yeah. It's just like, unbelievably precise and just laser focusing on it like you've never done before. Some people call it inspiration, and some people call it, you know, absolute focus. Mm. I don't think it's natural for the human to be able to constantly tap into it, because it requires a lot of thinking and energy, but I think we're all able to get into that mode. And I think everyone is a little bit different, like I said, different applications, operating system. You know, there are some people who are computers, and some people are just calculators, right? Mm. That can just, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. And they don't even think about it. That's just the way it is. They just do the job. That's why when they said normal, you know, when that woman said normal, well, it's like one of those things. What is normal?
Yeah, so many
because if everyone is doing the same thing, how limited is that? Because the human mind is so creative, they have to think beyond the box. And the only time we feel safe and happy is when we're beyond and outside of the box, because we feel free. Because in our society these days, everything is framed. Everything is a fucking box. Everything is a box. It has edges and there's limitations. I don't think people understand how boxed in they are. They've been given the illusion that you're free, but you're not.
Yes.
So the moment people can accept that we need to get back to old ritualistic shamanistic guidance, I'm not saying everybody at their 15th birthday should have a trip.
Nej, but for der er hjernen jo heller ikke færdigudviklet.
Exactly,
men det gør de da i Peru og sådan noget. Der er
exactly.
Det, der er ligesom, ja, hey, konfirmation, mm-hmm. drik du da den her?
But I think,
er det så tidligt?
Yes, well, yeah, I know people who have had their sons at 12
participate. Ja, men jeg tror, det var sådan noget 18-20 år, at det ville være.
It was, I don't agree with the 12-year-old, but Westerner, I have to say Westerner. 12-year-old Westerner shouldn't take ayahuasca. Mm. But a native is fine.
Ja, jeg tænker også, hvis du er vokset op og går rundt i bare til i regnskoven
der dag, ind i maven, mens mor tager
så tror jeg, det er... Ja, det er en så integreret af kulturen, at det... Og jeg tror heller ikke, det er sådan noget, at de gør det sådan, du ved. De gør det.
Ja.
På et eller andet tidspunkt, nu tager du den her, og så tager du lige på den rejse, og så kommer de tilbage fra det, og så tror jeg da ikke, det er sådan noget, de gør en måned efter.
Now, with this frame of mind, put yourself into the 12-year-old Westerner kid, and then suddenly separate yourself from that kid and put yourself in the 12-year-old Amazonian kid. Now, the difference between the two is here, restrictions, there, it's nature. Mm-hmm. So you go from the Amazon back into the system and you suddenly see doors locking, closing in front of you. Everything is boxed. You have to do this. You're a slave to the system. The system itself is a damn prison. And this is what people don't understand.
Attica.
It's not about going up against the system, although it should be, because we should dictate how we want to live. But people have forgotten how to live.
Men jeg synes også, jeg har hørt om nogle af dem, der har prøvet de der ayahuasca ting, som tager til Peru. Altså det der med, at så gør de det, så er de dernede i hvad, en uge, 14 dage.
Ja.
Det der med, når man så kommer hjem, du ved, til... Og dernede, der er der jo ikke, som du siger, der er regnskov, der er små hytter, der er ikke noget, der forstyrrer dig, og så kommer du hjem lige pludselig oven på sådan en oplevelse der. Mm. Og så ser man virkelig lige igennem folk, og du ser lige igennem alt det der bullshit, der er rundt om en. Altså det tror jeg, det må være, for sådan en vesterlænding, det må være...
That's a traumatic experience.
Ja, det tror jeg også kunne være.
And I understand a lot of people go back because they get connected.
Mm. Ligesom den der, hvad hedder den dokumentar med ham...
Stepping into the fire.
Ja, med ham sådan Wall Street, du har godt set den.
Yeah.
Så til en af de, hvad var han, den anden rigeste børsmand på Wall Street, og så tager han der til Peru, fordi der er noget med hans bror og et eller andet, og så ender han med at lave det der resort, altså hvor man kan se, han havde jo alle penge, han kunne gøre alt, han kunne gøre alligevel noget, men han havde det ikke godt med konen, han havde det ikke godt med hans arbejde, han havde det overhovedet ikke godt.
I mean, how many things from, I can ask anybody about this, but how many things since childhood is not focusing on limiting you in some respects, or at least demand something of you.
Du skal tage din uddannelse, du skal få dig arbejde, du skal have dig en kone, du skal have nogle børn, og så...
But we can go back to the very first thing. You know, I read this funny line, from the age of 0 to 3, they want you to talk, walk. From the age of 3 and beyond, they want you to sit and shut up.
Yeah, klart, man.
So that's how it is today, because we have, you know, school expects you to be able to do certain things, right? But I think that there's a wave of consciousness these days that is just spreading around silently and influencing kids, but the modern, you know, age is determining or deciphering it as sickness, like ADHD, when kids can't concentrate, because I think kids have changed. They are naturally trying to establish some connection to something bigger and better than this, because they can feel it in their guts. That's why so many kids do drugs, because they just need to get out of it, because everyone in the old days were initiated. They went on a vision quest, hunts, an experience that gave them birth to their personality. And today, what do we have? Nothing. The expectations and stress. So kids go out and do stupid things. They take
new iPhone.
Yeah. So they take drugs. They do cocaine, heroin, anything. And the worst part is the rave parties, because they need to get into that trance-like mode. Native Americans were dancing 12 hours and singing. They went into that trance free, without any drugs. So it's a need for people to get into that mode.
Ja, men også, man har jo ikke 12 timer til, at man gider at stå og danse.
No,
some people. Når du piller den pille der, så er du det samme, så...
Yeah, but all of this is bad because there's no guidance.
Jamen, helt
and it's artificial.
Og det eneste, du får at vide, det er, at det er ulovligt, du skal gøre det.
Well, the biggest danger for state is obviously two things, as I told you. One is family, because the moment you grow up to have a huge family, you are influential. And free thinking.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid that you find out that actually I don't have to pay taxes.
A weed doesn't kill me? Wait.
Or yeah. Because like in the UK, apparently council tax, although it's forced upon you, is not mandatory in the constitution or whatever they have. It's not mandatory. But they're forced upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this recent thing in the what is it? They voted on the fact that you can't smoke in public or
kommunale arbejde.
Yeah, exactly.
Så du ikke ryge på, and places, i arbejdstiden.
Yeah, 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 or hospitals.
Det gælder jo også for, hvad hedder du? Shitting bull.
Shitting bull.
Jeg kan ikke huske, hvad du kalder
det. Nej, jamen det er her på 1. marts. Må man ikke.
De må heller ikke damp.
Så i din pause, fordi kommunen betaler, så må du ikke gå og ryge en smøg. Jeg har bare sagt til min leder, så går jeg i City Vest, hvis jeg skal ryge en smøg. Hvem skal være politimand over for mig? Skal vi gå og være politibetjent?
Og det er netop også fedt, at jeg synes, du taler for det, fordi du ryger jo ikke bare.
Nej, overhovedet.
Så du har jo haft den der med en unge, der er sådan, fej, du stinker. Oh shit. Og så lad være med at ryge, ikke? Men stadig det der nazi-mentalitet med, at vi betaler for dit lort, så du må overhovedet ikke, selv når du har pause og din egen tid, der registrerer vi det, du laver også. Altså det...
Ja.
Altså, det selv jo, hvis du tager hjem i din pause og sidder inde i din eget hus, der må du ikke engang ryge, fordi du er stadig på betalt tid og kommunen og...
Men det hørte jeg da også, læste jeg en eller anden artikel om her for et par år siden fra USA, hvor der var en eller anden gut, der havde siddet inde i hans hus,
ja,
du ved.
Og eller have,
og havde rådet en spøj. Og så naboen havde klaget, du ved. Så han fik forbud, han måtte ryge ud i haven, han må ryge indenfor, men med lukkede vinduer.
It's like, those examples are good, because what I wanted to draw upon was the fact that there's control, there's way too much control about everything. You don't have the freedom you think you do. You just adjusted yourself in the delusional aspect of it and think that you can do it. You know, it's ridiculous. It's like people that, you know, believe they're free, but they're actually such slaves to the system, they can't even see it, and they're fine with it, because that's how they're grown up and told that this is how you're supposed to do it.
Det er derfor, vi skal have flere.
Det er jo netop ham, der har arbejdet og får lønnen.
Exactly.
Det er jo netop ham, der har arbejdet og får lønnen og har haft uddannelsen og så videre. Han, jeg er fri. Ikke? Men du har gjort alt det, som samfundet har sagt, du skal gøre, så du følger sådan set de guidelines, der er blevet lagt ud for dig, og du tænker ikke selv.
I'm going to have a little snippet of Graham Hancock explaining how ayahuasca is made and how it tastes like.
So it's a mixture of the leaves and the vine that produce the ayahuasca brew with water. Legs of the vine will be chopped up, broken open, placed into a cooking pot. Then you'll have about 300 leaves of Cicutria viridis put on top of that. Then there's some more lengths of the vine, pour in water, boil for hours and hours, reduce it down to quite a small amount in the bottom of the pot, pour it off mainly into a plastic bottle these days, add more water, boil it again, and after many hours you'll have a liter or so of this brew. This dark, rather sinister looking brew. How many in this room have drunk ayahuasca? Well, you'll know then what I'm talking about. It's not a wonderful taste. In fact, it varies from person to person, but I would personally regard it as one of the worst tastes on the planet. And every time I come to, let's forget about any notion of kicks or recreation here, every time I come to drink ayahuasca, I've done so more than 30 times now, I have to brace myself. It's an act of will to go and drink this this brew. And even talking about it now makes me feel a little bit nauseous. Because after half an hour or 45 minutes, the first effect that you're going to notice with ayahuasca is that you're beginning to feel a bit unwell. Worrying, rumbling sounds coming from the tummy. Slight dizziness, nausea. And most people, most of the time, not all of us, not all the time, but generally, during an ayahuasca session, you will vomit, you may have diarrhea. And this is quite difficult for Westerners to adjust to. When I first realized that that was what I was going to have to do, I was horrified. The idea of sort of jumping off behind a tree in full audible range of the other participants really bothered me a lot. You know, here we are, we're quite inhibited in this country. But that was the first lesson that ayahuasca taught me, actually, which is forget about your body. It's the least important part of you. What really matters, what's really you, is your consciousness.
Jeg har læst hans artikler her på det sidste. Han er dernede. Jeg ved ikke, om han er dernede stadigvæk, eller om han er kommet hjem. Men jeg har i hvert fald fulgt, hvor han så fortalte om. Der fortalte han så om rigtig, rigtig dårlig
DMT. I think he's coming home this week, actually. The last time I spoke to him, he was on his way to. Ja. And yeah, and it was, I was like, oh god, I wish it was me.
Ja, det kan jeg sidde sammen med ham, hvis man kan komme til afsted sammen med ham, ja, og få lov til at sidde og snakke med ham.
Prøv lige snakke.
he's just like, foam.
Yeah. Drink. Oh, right.
Not now,
entertain
not
me, monkey.
Yeah. But, his son, Luke,
Luke, use the force, Luke.
Pray him as your father.
He lives in Japan at the moment, and I'm going to contact him, asking him about, he tried many other places in the Amazon, and one in specific that I'm interested in attending to was the Temple of Light. And it was a very interesting place. It looked very good. Now, the same place that Graham Hancock goes to, I was also considering, but we'll see whichever has openings, because they're always booked, to
har
be honest.
Har han sagt noget om, at du vil sådan ned helt grøn i det psykedeliske fag, og så tame the snake?
I'm a virgin in that.
Ja, det er det. Altså, hvor jeg bare tænker,
Riders of the Storm. That's it. I don't know. I'm talking about him. We'll be talking with Luke about that.
Skype.
Oh. Well, Japan is a very different time zone, though.
Poor Luke in Japan.
Yeah. Luke has tried other places, and he knows certain areas and talked to a lot of people where the rituals are different, and maybe the shamans are not as good, so he can guide me to the part where I'm hoping to find myself in, which would be better places than.
Har du sådan dem du nu har snakket med og prøvet at research ind i det? Har du sagt at du er, som Jacob siger, grøn inden for området?
Ja.
Og det er ikke noget, som de siger, de vil anbefale, at du måske lige ryger en pind eller noget haskage.
No, in fact, they say that.
Jo renere du er, jo bedre, eller hvad?
I don't know. This is just my speculation. But if you have not had any, you're.
Jeg har lige siddet og tænkt, hvis du nu har prøvet et eller andet,
så skal der heller ikke så meget til.
Haft et dårligt trip.
Yeah.
når du så drak det der, kan du nemt
exactly.
tænke på, oh, nej, og yeah. håber ikke, det bliver ligesom det. Og så.
Yeah, and the fear and all those expectations kick in. Where for me,
det tror jeg faktisk,
I have nothing except for the interviews.
Ja, så får du bare en kæmpe knytnæve af noget, yeah. du aldrig nogensinde har prøvet, så du bare helt...
Nå, ja, men hvis du kun har læst gode historier om det, du ved, de der fantastiske oplevelser, folk har haft, hvis du går ind med det, så tror jeg, at det er nemmere.
But that's the thing, because I've done years of extensive research and interviews and read a lot about it. And my most treasured experience from all of that has to be the fact that everyone's different, but they all experience the same results, no matter how skeptical you were. Which is what I like. And none of them really say, even religious fanatics went in and came out, not religious, but spiritual. Mm. Stepping away from religion. And the deconstruction, or rather the demolition of the ego, is the key here. In everyday life, we are struggling with the ego. It is the demand that we have to meet from the ego. Which I think is the first step in ayahuasca or any of the vision quests that will make you humble, which will destroy your ego and say, look, this is who you are, like who you are, and build on what you're good at. And then things become clear. It doesn't matter if it's ayahuasca or a near-death experience, the DMT itself will tell you. And the teachings of Mother Ayahuasca is, as you know yourself, it's a plant supplement, a branch supplement, and the two things that obviously inhibit the mono acid, I can't remember, the mechanism in the stomach that allows it to go into your brain, the brew ayahuasca, which lasts for about 5 to 6 hours, as far as I remember, gives you a different effect than, for instance, people who smoke ayahuasca. It's a 10-minute extreme experience.
Det er altid bedst at spise det. Det gælder for eksempel for den sags skyld også med has og sådan noget. Og hvis du spiser det, så er virkningen
longer.
Tifold, eller hvad man siger, længere.
And I think the thing that's unique about it is because there's a soft element to it that leads into the very grim element, but can also take you back into this nurturing thing. Like the plant ayahuasca itself seems to be the mother ayahuasca. The reason they call it mother ayahuasca is obviously because it seems that it can guide you. And that's the element that I think a lot of the other examples like peyote and whatever spirit walking people might have doesn't have.
Det er også næsten altid, inden du skal til i gang med sådan en shaman-trip, så fortæller du shaman, hvad du gerne vil, sådan. Jeg vil gerne lære ikke at være så bange for fremmed, eller jeg vil gerne vide, hvorfor jeg har så lav selvtillid.
Exactly.
Eller andet.
Now, those are called the curanderos.
Det er jo et spørgsmål, du sådan set spørger ham, men det, du spørger, får dig jo selv til at stille spørgsmål, ikke? Så det kan være, det går den vej. Det er jo ikke sådan, at han kommer over, kan du huske, du sagde det der, nu skal vi lige... så du guider dig selv.
There is this unique thing. All the things I've seen so far indicated that there's a underlining wave that everybody's connected to. I mean, you don't have to talk the language, you don't have to say anything, and there's just an understanding that is so overwhelming that even days after the incident, people can be drawn to tears of the humble experience of some man who sings for you because he was so guiding and helpful and kind.
Jamen, det kan jeg da også huske ham, hvad hedder han, ham Aubrey Marcus, er det ikke det, han hedder?
Jo.
Fra de der åndet, Han, der sidder de også i en af de der podcast der, og så fortæller han om det der, den der form for sang, der laver shamanerne. Hvor de så lige finder et klip der, hvor han så begynder, og så kan man se på ham der, Aubrey, han er sådan helt, siger han også,
I'm back.
Men jeg kan mærke, det er sådan sidder i mig ved at høre ham der shamanen synge, ikke? Hvor det er sådan noget, der... Altså, det følger ham med hjem, du ved.
Yeah.
Og så kan man tabe ind på små... ved hjælp af små ting. Ligesom det der med, at du siger, det dufter, og så kommer man tilbage i barndommen. Ret
tydeligt. Det er igen med hukommelsen, der sidder fast i underbevidstheden.
Yeah. And I think it's a unique thing that mankind is now re-establishing the connection to the Amazon. And there's probably a reason why ayahuasca left the Amazon. It needs to get in touch with people because we're completely out of it. As the world and how people are today, we've completely lost it. It's like the worst time mankind has ever had. Forget about the Dark Ages, because it's nothing like it.
Både den bedste og den værste side.
Ja, men jeg vil så også sige, at der kommer jo flere og flere som os, ikke? Der lærer at tænke selv, og så skal vi jo bare have skiftet den der gamle tradition eller gamle, du ved, gamle generation ud.
Ja. Well, everything is outdated system-wise.
Ja, jamen lige præcis. You know? Men altså, du ved,
også mentalitet.
Jeg er glad for at jeg oplevede iPhone og PlayStation, du ved, alle de der åndssvage, men det er cool, det er rigtig fedt, ikke? Men det er rigtig
fordummende, ikke?
But to be honest, if someone said to me,
det bidrager ikke,
det er hardt,
you know,
jeg blev super heldig i går, altså, det er jo sådan, det er sådan, man skal se.
That's cool, but if someone would offer me, you can have this in the Amazon and feel complete.
Yeah.
Just as long as you give up everything else.
Oh, yeah, man. Du kan have så lidt, og alligevel have så meget. Ikke?
I think humanity's limitation in ownership is, as we've talked about this before, I don't think it's natural to own anything. Because even in older cultures, even Chinese, they don't have the word mine or me. Mm. It's ours.
Okay.
So in some, there was like recently they were discovering a Amazonian tribe which was apparently hidden in the forests, the jungles for God knows how many.
Der var de først næsten lige for den.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they in their language didn't have mine, me, and stuff like that. So that indicated a unity of collective ensemble that would kind of communicate through what we share. And I think that's how
it's
we should.
Our lady.
Be. You would fit perfectly into that group. But that's what I think is natural in humanity, is to have as little as possible, because what we really need, I think there's maybe 5 to 10 items in your life that you really need and should have. But we have way more than that now. We have way, way more. And you know what happens, right, to a spoiled kid? All the psychological damage that will be inflicted on this kid later in life, the need, unnecessary need to comfort, the you know, God knows what else, the trust could be related to those things. That's how we exactly. So it's unnatural to have and to need. We have been corrupted. Yeah.
I need it. Precious.
Men altså, sådan er det jo, de der, som du siger, den der stamme der, altså, de er vel også hunter-gatherers, du ved.
Yeah.
De står op, okay, vi skal ud og have noget
mad.
Og det er det. Så det er mad, og vi skal hjem igen. Ikke som, altså, når jeg står op, så skal jeg have noget mad, så skal jeg på arbejde, så får jeg nogle penge. Det er fandme mine penge, den her. Så køber jeg, det er min, den her, jeg køber. For mine penge, jeg har arbejdet, du ved.
Are we thinking about Black Fridays in the U.S. when there's like the irony?
Det
you know that one, right?
Trampet,
but do you want to hear the irony in that? It's what, like a few days before after Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful for what we have. And then 2 days after, motherfucker, like, I want this. It's like $100 cheaper.
Jamen, og det, hvor meget sparer du? Altså, jeg har heller aldrig, det der, der er udsalg, vi skal ind, og jeg skal blive ved. Altså, vi er væk fra det der.
It's true, but it is just ironic that it's 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Altså, jeg kan da godt blive sådan, nu fandt jeg 5 Blu-ray-film nede i Blockbuster for 100 kroner. Det er sådan,
Yeah, well, I mean, that fits the moment, right?
Yeah. But it's not
like you're going to say to your wife and kid, dear family, I will be going on my Mecca journey to find cheap shit. And I will be returning triumphant with something. Yeah. Like, you take your bag and water for days because, you know, you might have to camp outside. Some people do that for iPhones. It is ridiculous what people do these days. But small victories are influenced by what the state of our society is. because they will dictate if you find 5 Blu-rays for 100, if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what is 100 krona for 5 films? Is that good or bad? It is good, because we know that
Blu-ray. Mm.
Because we know that from experience, one Blu-ray costs a lot more than that. So, you know, what will this give you?
Yeah.
You know, it's 100 krona for food. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I can ask you another question is, why do you think so many people are hamstering things to themselves? Mm-hmm. I personally think, but you can elaborate if you agree or disagree, whether or not this is true, is that people today...
Disagree.
He would be... If I was a teacher and he would be in my class... Hey, like, bend over, son. Take my belt.
No, stoned.
Yeah, well, stoning is after class, and then it would basically be people buying a lot of stuff, basically based on their need to feel complete, right? So, some people go out and buy a Blu-ray for the need to just detach themselves from the shit they're in. To get the entertainment they need. And then, I don't talk about it. I just lay down on the floor. And then there's also the other group of people who buy retro stuff from their childhood because they were good times. Mm-hmm. Like we do. Because we remember it as happy days, right? And then there are the other people who need to buy, you know, the latest gadgets, clothes, and whatever, because they need to feel that they're part of society to show that, you know,
Megan's.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I have an iPhone too. Hi, can I be a part of the group now?
Yeah.
And that's always the building on your image rather than completing what's naturally needed for you. Love, friendship, self-development. You know, so we're buying that to build on. If this was a, you know, if we were ancient Egypt, our tombstone would be filled with Blu-rays and shit.
Yep.
Like toys and crap. It's like 5,000 years later, what is this? I don't know, but it can transform into a car. It's cool.
Who is this Siri person?
Yeah, hello. So we've
Michael, jeg godt åbne sådan en tomb, når bare var fyldt med gamle Blu-rays og yeah. Legetøj.
But we've trailed off from what is naturally needed. You know, instead of investing so much money in stuff, buy a trip to some place and get an experience.
Yeah.
That'll last
men
for
det
a
life. Det er bare så
de der to par jogging eller kopperbukser til 1800 kroner.
Exactly.
Der står Levi's.
Yeah.
Og gummistøvler til 1500 kroner.
Yeah, and the limitations of people connecting with real people these days, thanks to the internet, nobody's talking anymore. They've lost the ability to communicate. They don't know what facial expression is.
They're bare thumbs up.
Yeah, it's Yeah, I can't wait for the person who accidentally presses thumbs up when someone says, my grandma died.
Yeah.
Oh, shit! Shit, what do I do now? And he's going to be labeled as a douchebag. Hey, you son of a bitch, you have no feeling? It was an accident. Yeah, sure, right. D-friend. I don't even know if they do. But the point is... I think people need to reprioritize their lives. You know, it's like...
Men er det muligt med alt det så meget input og så meget crap, man får ind igennem fra fjernsyn og du ved... Jeg sidder også sten over det der med skole, du ved.
Ja.
Det der med... altså, selvfølgelig er det godt med en skole, men hvad, altså, kunne man ikke sætte sig ned med sin computer i skolen, og så er der fem emner... Og så går du selv bare ind, og så googler du, og du, altså, så sidder du og gør det en time, og så snakker vi om, hvad folk har fundet på de der emner, der, du ved, sådan på den måde. Sådan at man nemlig kommunikerer, i stedet for at der står en og fortæller, sådan her er det, og det står i den her bog, og det er bare
sådan, det er også noget af det, jeg har hadet allermest. Sådan
ligesom
i folk,
kirker og sådan noget. Religion, jeg prøver mig ikke om det der med, at der står en og prædiker.
Mm. Ja,
måske, jeg synes...
I love how priests usually talk about families and stuff like, dude, you can't even have a wife.
Nej.
What the hell,
your
you
kids
know?
To me. Yeah. Også det der, du siger med, sådan her er det rigtige, du ved. Yeah. Ikke? Hvis du laver en boganmeldelse, og du analyserer den på en måde, og så lærer en det forkert analyseret. Det er sådan her, og det er det her, de mener. Hvor det er bare sådan, jamen, det siger du. Altså, alle har vel ret til en mening, om den så er sandt eller forkert, ikke? Og så selv at kunne gå ind og prøve at finde ud af det.
Ja.
Inden at der står en og fortæller, sådan her er det, og sådan her er det. Det her er svar til punkt
Well, that's the thing, because people, again, I've noticed in teaching lately, is they don't want you to think. It's in the book, and anything outside of the book, the teacher doesn't know, doesn't want to talk about.
Og det er bare forfærdeligt, ikke?
I remember in business school, we were taught in the history class that Yuri Gagarin was a Hungarian astronaut. Excuse me?
Who?
Yuri Gagarin was... Really? He was so fucking determined that he was right that when I said to him it was a Russian guy, he wouldn't listen. He was close to, you know, failing me, like flunking me in class. But he is not Hungarian. I don't know where the fuck he got it from. So...
Det var ikke Ungarn, USA konkurrerede imod om at komme ud.
Men det er jo også det, de får lige at hoppe til. Men det er også det, de snakker, det ved jeg i hvert fald, Graham Hancock har snakket meget om, med de der egyptologer, som de har helt vildt problemer med at få lov til at grave nogle steder. Og, fordi at sådan hele det, de har bygget op, du ved, hele, alt det, jeg har lært igennem al den tid her, det krakelerer, hvis vi lige pludselig finder ud af, at de der water erosions på Sphinxen, det egentlig betyder, at meget, meget senere, til, altså, du ved, de der ting der med, at,
vi kan ikke
opdage nye ting, du ved.
Well,
det står jo her, at sådan er det.
It's got something...
We already found out.
Because there's another element to it that is very... It's a sickness in that community. And that is based upon the fact that these... people who come out of the universities with a degree and get the job have written something and they want to call it their life's work. They need to get funding, like something from school or the government, and they have to justify it. So they will fight for it, even though they know it's wrong, but they will fight for it because this is what they live off. So even though someone like Robert Bouval or Graham Hancock will tell him, but excuse me, but the erosion that goes downwards on the Sphinx indicates a tropical element. It must have rained a lot, and the last time it did that was 10,500 years ago. How do you explain that?
Og der var den bygget.
Yeah. And our exactly.
Den bygget,
and if you look at the Sphinx, the head is minute. It was carved out of the lion's head, which is obvious because it's pointing towards Leo. Come on.
Og så hørte jeg noget om, de snakkede om, at der er et hemmeligt kammer under en af poterne eller sådan et eller andet, hvor de ikke får lov til at gå ind for de der etablerede egyptologer.
Who used to be Zahi Hawass, who thankfully is not there anymore.
Nå, det er han ikke mere.
No, he was booted out basically because he was corrupt. He was using intern women and he was a douchebag.
Hamoudi, come here.
Yalla, sit on my lap. I will show you the Sphinx.
Okay. Jamen, fordi det, ham har jeg set en del programmer med, hvor jeg sådan tænkte, han er sådan... Men så begyndte jeg at høre nogle af de andre snakke, Rogan og Hancock, nogle af dem der snakker om ham, hvor det er sådan, ham der, han er fandme ikke...
Corrupt CIA!
You do not know anything about the pyramids. The pyramids is the way it is. And you know, the funny thing is, he's Arab. He doesn't even belong to them. The ancient Egyptians are long gone. So they have just claimed it. So whatever wealth and riches that might have been there...
Altså, der gik lang tid før jeg hørte det der med, at Sphinxen, der egentlig, at det slet ikke var et ansigt. Du ved, at før, der var det nemlig en hund, eller hvad du sagde. Nej, ikke en hund.
Lion.
En løve, ja. Altså, hvor det sådan lidt... Hvor, altså, vidste de ikke det på det tidspunkt, at de lavede Asterix og Kleopatra, eller hvad?
No. Hvorfor de lavede hovedet om?
They did it because... was it Seti the first or Seti the second, whoever it was, he wanted to put that on.
Den er stor og fed, den statue. Prøv lige
because over, you know, easily work.
I demand.
Just work with, I know you're good with tools, just do it.
Screw Moses, build this for me.
And also, again, the only time the, you know, Sphinx was pointing towards Leo was 10,500 years ago, which would indicate... Doesn't matter if it was built at that time or not, but that year in specific is very, very relevant because constellation Draco at the Cambodian Angkor Wat is depicting perfectly at 10,500 years ago, although it wasn't built 10,500 years ago, but it was built to indicate that when this was aligning perfectly, it was 10,500 years ago. So it means something. It's a message.
Og det var det, du siger, i Kambodja, eller hvad?
Ja.
Ja, og der havde de den. Og så helt andet sted i
Kambodja. Hvad er der i Kambodja?
Der havde de også...
Angkor Wat.
Hvad er det?
En pyramide også.
Oh, okay.
It's a formation, and near the entrance, there is the 54 heads, which is aligning on the serpent. That indicates the precision of the earth.
Det er ikke den det er i Peru eller hvor. Det er ikke den pyramide der med når solen så ser det ud som om slangen
ikke. No, that's in South America.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Which is again one of those things. How do you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, we can't do that today.
Jamen, og det er et eller andet med at så kravler slangen, altså følger solen og så skyggen, og så når den kommer op på toppen, så er den i sådan et eller andet lille hul eller sådan et eller andet voldsomt imponerende.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something else. I think I might have forgotten to tell you.
Og det har de gjort med hammer og mejsel.
The great Egyptian pyramids, the biggest one, does not have four corners. It has more than that. Because if you look at it, and this was mind-blowing.
Har den ikke en spids og så?
It doesn't, it like, let me show you. It's like, the usual belief is that the Sphinx is a square, and it has four corners.
Yeah.
Turns out, and this was recently discovered, that on a specific day, in a certain equinox, it becomes like this. They actually found out that there's a little indentation. So that means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sides to it. And you can only see that from the sky at a specific time during a year.
What?
And you should,
hver år, eller hvad?
No, every year at a specific equinox.
Hvorfor har de taget billeder af det?
They have. You can check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's completely visible. You can see it, that it goes like this. Not exactly.
And it,
so not, you know, not like a square from above. So it has eight sides. And it's unique that it indicates that just for that one specific time during the year.
Ved du hvornår på året det er?
I don't know which solstice it is, but I will be putting it up on a link.
Yeah.
And it is truly magnificent discovery because it wasn't that recent. Well, it's not. It doesn't really look that much like a star, but it does have these. Yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just scribbling here now. But you should check this out. Actually, before you go home, I'm going to show it to you. It's unique because we keep finding new things about it, and there's so many theories about what it is now that we're getting into the science fiction realm now.
Okay.
Some people believe it could have been a generator that creates power.
Selve pyramiden, yeah.
Altså når der kan åbne og et rumskib kan lande.
No, but because that they are suspecting that there was a certain kind of liquid used underneath that at the right kind of temperature would resonate and create energy and whatever the hell it was, but whatever it was far beyond what we could imagine today. It's I'm not even going to venture a thought on what it could be, because there's so many examples.
Altså, jeg var lidt mere på den der Hancock-teori der også, med at inde i der, når han går ind i kongens kammer og ligger sig ned i den der sarkofag, fordi der var jo ikke noget, der var ikke nogen, der var begravet der.
Exactly, it was completely empty.
Og han mente det var sådan der med, at så lagde man sig ned i den der, ligesom en
flotation
tank,
ja. Yeah.
Fordi der er helt mørkt, der er helt. Og han siger, at han har fået lov til at ligge derinde, hvor der overhovedet ikke har været nogen mennesker, hvor han sagde, at altså, man kunne virkelig mærke, at der var et eller andet helt, specielt der.
Ja. Mm. Yeah.
Hvor det giver også god mening.
Men I mean,
at man bygger så stort det.
Ja. Yeah. But it's apparently also capable of generating power. So, yeah. You know, it's...
Jamen også det der med, at, altså som de snakker om, på tænk på dengang, da det stod helt, det lige var for lagt den sidste sten, og det sidste, der har stået der, har været sådan en helt kalkstensskelet.
Must have been amazing.
Sindssygt.
And of course...
Og det kan ikke være, fordi, nej, se, den er flot. Det var godt, vi fik lavet det.
Yeah.
Og hvad en eller anden dybere and, mening med.
Oh, definitely. And Imhotep was the designer, apparently. And his cousin was... Yeah, it is.
Imhotep.
Anaxunamun.
Anaxunamun.
I love that.
What? Har du ikke den?
A Scorpion King.
Jeg lige lyst til at se.
Yeah, I love the second one. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Nå, jeg kan bedst lide den første.
The second one is great because the kid is actually good. He's funny. You remember that little kid?
Like mistede lidt lysten til at se toren.
Ej, det er også bare, han er helt irriterende over for alle de onde mand, så pand ham ind og bend ham og lægge et eller andet sted.
But...
Jo, men de er onde. Der er mubier.
With regards to these pyramids, again, there is so many around the world. Yeah. Same kind of construct, same designs.
Har du set den, de har fundet i Bosnien, tror jeg, der?
Yeah, huge.
Kæmpe.
Apparently. But we can't verify it because they just don't want people to do anything about it.
Men ham, jeg hørte, han lød, altså, var så meget sådan, når man så, hvordan en pyramide, den fungerer, du ved.
Mm-hmm.
Med de der...
I guess we're referencing the one from Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
And there was that one thing that kind of led into this, which was that China... had quite a few pyramids, but covered it and put trees on it, just to make people forget that it's there. Although, unfortunately, the trees are very uniform and in a line.
Han sagde, i hvert fald, at lige snart han så det bjerg der, så sagde han, der er en pyramide dernede under.
Ja.
Og jo mere de begynder at grave, jo mere finder de, har vist fået en masse helt vildt lange gange nede under sådan noget.
I mean, if it turns out to be an actual pyramid, it would be the biggest one known to man.
Det er voldsomt.
And I think we're just talking about the surface on the planet. God knows what actually are on the coastlines, because we're coastal people.
Fucking under vand, man.
Underneath, exactly, underneath the water, 10,500 years ago.
Hvor meget er det vand, der er udforsket?
Yeah, and they found like that place in Japan. And God knows what else. Around, apparently, I was talking to Hancock, he mentioned something about India, that there are also a lot of... villages and monuments and buildings that were now covered in water because...
Ja. Var der ikke et eller andet sted, hvor de simpelthen, hvor de personerne, der havde bygget det, selv havde dækket området? Jeg ved ikke, om det også var om det i Peru, eller hvor de, altså så havde de bygget et eller andet, og så dækkede de det hele med sand, du ved.
Could be.
Nå, det kan du ikke.
Ja. I can't remember. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry.
Hvad skal du med hele den her bunke papir her? Hvad der bare, man?
I ran out of toilet paper.
Yeah, fucking eagle dropping.
Do you know much about Terence McKenna?
Yeah, altså, ja.
The psychonaut.
Jeg har en kammerat, der kan citere næsten alt, hvad han snakker om. Magnus.
Okay.
Han sagde forleden, at han mente, han havde set... Nu har han hørt alt, hvad der var at høre.
Well, just tell him that Dennis McKenna has just released a book about him.
Ja, jamen, jeg så nemlig...
brothers
jeg,
of...
Jeg så godt, han var inde i podcasten, hvor han fortalte om, at de var på svampetrip i 14 dage eller sådan et eller andet. Og han nemlig ville komme med en ny bog, der...
It's already available as an e-book.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's going to end up as an e-book. And
e-book.
You can't get... Well, you know...
Skal man have det på computeren?
Yeah. Or we're going to be able to down or buy the book in physical form. I would like to have it in physical form.
Man kan få den på Amazon på et eller andet
tidspunkt. Well, it would be nice, but I haven't found it so far. I think he has some very interesting topics. Terence McKenna has, as you know, as a psychonaut, tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
His brother is in... quite a few ayahuasca documentaries talking about basically always mentioning the obvious, which is once you've tried ayahuasca, you realize you really don't know shit about anything. You know, that's the humble part of it. What we think we know, we really don't know.
Right.
And even though today we claim that, oh my god, the M41 nebula, a new star just developed. Right. I love how they can map other planets and say that we have now 400 Earth-like planets. Yeah, we don't have shit clue on what's underneath the ocean here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, oh no, now we found a new kind of fish. It's been around for millions of years and you just found it? You know, sometimes the effort that you put in, and it was actually a really interesting article I was reading the other day, was about Star Trek, the new film.
Mm.
It's not about the new film, but they're referencing to the fact how much it costs. And we're just going to take, I'm going to take Avatar.
Yeah.
It was like, I can't remember, like $300 million?
Den dyreste film.
Yeah, $300 million for a film about us being in the future and on another planet. And then they were saying, do you know what you could use the $300 million for if you actually wanted to go to space?
Mm-hmm.
go deeper in the water.
You could also, you know, see exploration, but the point is that the amount they spend on making films, pretending that we're in space, we could at least try to push the technology towards it and make it, with the 300 million that we have, something you can use. But not today, we just have films for entertainment. Slapping on a DVD and Blu-ray after 3 months and that's it.
No.
Momentary experience, but it costs a shitload of money.
Ja, det er syret at tænke på, ikke?
It is, because then you look at what the funding is for space exploration, and you're like, what?
To en halv time på at se noget, der har kostet 300 millioner.
And that's really, that's embarrassing. That's shameful from humanity.
Ja, filmen bliver faktisk lidt ringe taget i betragtning af, hvor meget den har kostet.
Yeah. And then not to mention the fact of what we could do with 300 million on this planet.
I could do 300 million.
You spend it in 2 days, man.
The race! Når man tager de der kasser fra Blockbuster med hjem.
Ja, bitch.
Ja, men det er vanvittigt. Det er vanvittigt så meget. Men det er også derfor, de snakker om, at alle folk, de begynder at lave... Det er derfor, tv-serien de bliver så gode, du ved.
Ja, true.
Fordi det er så umuligt at lave de der sindssyge film.
Well... I agree. What do you think about... well, we've talked about certain things now and been a bit around, but I'm going to bring you back to shamans. How do you... what do you think about shamans, and would you think that it would be a neat introduction again in some capacity? And how would you deal with them if they were coming back?
Hvordan jeg har det med...
Yeah, what do you think about them, and how would you deal with it if you had the chance to integrate them into the society that we have today?
Altså det, så har vi også snakket om. Det burde næsten være sådan noget, der var på, jeg måske ikke sige gymnasierne, men universitetet eller sådan, at man kunne, ja, hvis du kunne få lov til at tabe lidt ind på...
Ligesom det gjorde i 60'erne, ikke? Med LSD og sådan noget, der var der jo forsøg og sådan noget, du kunne...
Ja, der lavede det, altså, men, jo, det var jo sådan, og det var meget for at se, hvad de kunne gøre med... med medicin, og man kunne inkorporere.
Det kan du vel også med ayahuasca.
Men det stoppede de jo, da War eller Life, jeg kan ikke huske, det læste jeg også her forleden, at der stoppede de også alle de der forsøg med LSD og alt muligt, hvor de havde taget sådan nogle virkelig kloge hoveder og sat dem ind i et værre, og de havde alle sammen sådan et eller andet voldsomt problem med deres thesis eller sådan noget. Og så gav de noget LSD, og så først så fik de lov til at lige at, du ved, what the hell, kravle rundt der, og så efter nogle timer...
My pen is a snake!
Ja, men så efter nogle timer, så fik de så at vide, så nu skal I, her er jeres opgaver, sæt jer ned, og så satte de sig ned, og alle sammen fik løst deres problemer, du ved. Altså, det var...
And it's funny that you bring that up, because I want to tie it back into what we were mentioning or talked about before earlier, was basically that the brain that we have is compartmentalizing everything. We have everything put into boxes, and it's like a maze. We have to find the exit, and there's just one exit for the right answer, although it shouldn't be. Because what you just mentioned is basically they have liberated the mind.
And then suddenly
the answers are more obvious. Yeah. Where today we think about 50 things before we think about the correct one.
Yeah.
It's there, men, altså, but just we...
Det, og de gør det jo i kontrolleret forhold, du ved. Og det er også der, hvor jeg synes måske, at man skal gøre alle de der ting, hvis man vil tage LSD, hvis man vil æde svampe, hvis man vil ryge en ved, altså også hvis du drikker, du ved, altså det er altid godt at have en eller anden, der lige har styr på, hvad folk de laver, du ved, en sidekick, ja, der ikke selv er helt fuldstændig hjernedød på
en sprut, altså.
Jeg tror, det er meget det der settings, og så, ja, hvordan man...
Det er godt at planlægge. Ja. Det er altid godt at planlægge sådan noget.
Og have nogle gode venner, hvis man får det dårligt. Altså, vi var engang ude til noget fødselsdag ved en kammerat, hvor også mange af dem, der var med, jamen, de var lidt knas der på LSD, du ved. Og hvor en af dem, han så havde fået det helt dårligt, men han havde ikke sagt noget til nogen af os. Og vi var 6 eller 7, 8 af sted, du ved. Hvor han skulle måske bare lige gå hen og sagt, jeg har det fandme ikke... Så havde vi jo alle sammen samlet os sammen og sørget for... Ja, nemlig. Men han valgte så at kæmpe lidt med det selv, du ved.
Okay.
Altså, og jeg var nemlig ikke...
Så fortalte han først om det, da I kom
hjem
igen.
På det. Ja, ja, og det var sådan dagen efter, mens vi alle sad, og nogen havde ikke sovet, og der var han sådan, jeg går hjem nu. Og vi var altså i Skanderborg, og det var sådan, men vi er ude i en skov i Skanderborg. Ja, men han skulle fandme hjem nu, ikke? Du ved, nu skal jeg bare hjem. Så begyndte han bare at vade. Så var det bare sådan, okay, der er bare halvanden time til, hvor han når, hvor han kan tage en bus og sådan noget, hvor det sådan, hvor bliver du ikke her? Og,
hey, kom tilbage, og ikke?
Nej, han gik fandme, man tog han hjem. Og så,
what the fuck?
Så sad vi andre der i nogle timer og hyggede os, og så tog vi hjem og ruttede op, du ved, og tog hjem. Men der fik jeg det helt vildt dårligt. Så noget tid efter, da jeg hørte det, at han bare havde... og når jeg ser nogle billeder derfra, kan man godt se, hans ansigt er sådan helt... som om,
hjælp mig!
Ja, hjælp mig for satan, ikke? Hvor det sådan lidt, hvor fanden siger du ikke noget, mand? Altså, det er derfor, vi er her. Vi er her for at hjælpe. Hvad er her for hinanden, du ved?
Ja, klart.
Da jeg dagen efter, og jeg, nu skulle jeg bare skide det, så tog jeg den der lorteskovl og tænkte, nu kan jeg ikke holde mig mere. Og så drejede jeg lige om hjørnet ved sådan nogle træer, og så stod der sådan en lille hytte, du ved, det var totalt mærkeligt. Hvorfor sådan en lille hus der, bare derhen, og man kunne se, at døren den havde været brudt op. Åbnede. Hallo, hallo. Nå, der var ikke nogen hjemme, og der, så var der kun én dør inde i det der lille hus. Og da jeg åbnede den, så var der et lokum. Ja, du ved. Ja, hurtigt op til de andre. Det er her, nede i det foregående.
I found Mecca.
Ja, jamen, det var virkelig sådan. Så skulle alle bare, nå, men så... Vi hjælper
hinanden.
Ja,
det er klart. Men det er squeeze, altså, squeeze! De gange,
jeg har prøvet det, har der altid været planlægning. Jeg har næsten kun prøvet det sammen med en person, min kammerat, Stefan. Og der har vi altid haft, vi har haft film klar, vi har haft snacks, vi har haft nogle færdige rullet joints, vi har haft mad klar, som bare lige skal varmes, hvis vi bliver sultne til aftensmad. Ja, jamen præcis, sådan noget. Alt er planlagt. Og så skal du nemlig ikke tænke på ting, så skal du bare let it go, let it flow, hedder det.
Jeg tror i hvert fald, de fleste af dem, der har det dårligt med det, enten er de... Altså, jeg har ikke selv prøvet LSD, og sammen med det har jeg prøvet for, da jeg var 20 år, så det er fandme mange år siden.
Jamen, det lød altså også rigtig sjovt.
Jamen, det var også en oplevelse. Men du ved...
Politiet kommer! Eller også, det var det.
It was under controlled environment, led by Dr.
Smurf. Men det er det der med, at det var ikke, det var også, du ved, det er sammen med gode venner. Det er ikke sådan noget med, at man tager et eller andet, og så går til et eller andet fremmed fest med 20 fremmede ansigter, hvor du ikke rigtig ved, ham der, han virker aggressiv, og
fandme. You know, you guys are talking about something, and of course, the thing that I'm picking out here is the major culprit in the bad experience is ego again.
Ja, det er.
If the guy was just... honestly letting go of his ego and say, guys, shit, I'm shit my pants in fear, please just help me.
Alle også sådan, shit,
yeah, but there's that ego that says, no, I'm man enough to deal with it alone, so I'm just gonna go.
Præcis, det gør også, da vi var i sommerhuset, holdt gutter, hvor vi alle sammen skulle spise. Der var en, der spiste den måde, han taklede det på, fordi han synes, det blev for meget. Det var at gå ind i sin seng og lægge sig og prøve at, nu slapper vi af, du ved. Altså, han kom ud lige pludselig og slukkede anlægget. Jeg skal pisse! Skreg han så bare sådan, hvor vi alle sammen sådan, så ud og pisse. Bare startede vi musikken igen, du ved. Men han kommunikerede ikke med os, du ved.
What was going on in his head, though?
Men jeg ved det ikke. Alt muligt, som, altså jeg tror, du ved, fordi det er meget som, hvis du ser den her, så kan den godt bøje, eller...
Are we talking about
LSD?
All right.
Ja. Men altså, det er ligesom, hvis du bliver helt vildt fuld, du ved, altså, så bliver det også lidt for, nu skal jeg slappe lidt af, du ved, og så bare lad det dø hen, du ved. Men det gjorde han ikke, han prøvede at suppress det, du ved. Og det er jo lige netop det, du ikke skal gøre, fordi så bliver det vildere og vildere. Så i stedet for at sige det til os, at han havde det altså vildt, det var den en anden, der gjorde til mig, hvor jeg sådan, så prøv at komme med mig, ikke? Så gik vi ind i stuen, så tændte jeg for fjernsynet. Så havde vi så lidt venner, så lavede jeg en joint til ham, så sådan, hvordan har du det? Og sådan, om det er sådan et eller andet, og det fortsætter for evigt, og det bliver vildere og vildere. Og sådan, nej, vi har været i gang i 5 timer nu, så er der lige en 4-5 timer tilbage, og sådan noget, du ved. Og hvor han sådan, tusind tak, slammer, fandme fedt du, og bla bla bla, ikke? Men ham den anden, han vælger så at lægge sig ind i et soveværelse alene, lukke døren, og ligge og prøve at takle det selv, ikke? Altså, det er det sidste, man skal gøre.
Jamen, og det er helt sikkert, det du siger, egoet. Egoet siger, nej, jeg kan godt.
Ja, jeg kan godt, selv. Jeg skal ikke være en pussy og sige til andre, jeg har lidt nøjere.
But that works, like, on not just these moments, but everything in life here.
Ja.
It's like, you know, when a man meets a woman, it's the false representation of something he wants her to see him as.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, most of the time, if it's a sane and normal woman, she most likely would rather see him as he is and deal with it with whatever it is. But both sides play it out. and then nothing is true.
Men det er ligesom bare det der med at skal indrømme over sig selv, hvis man sidder og siger et eller andet bla 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 bla, og så siger du, nej, det er helt forkert. Mm-hmm. Så er det sådan, så støder du mit ego, mm-hmm. og så bare det der med, at jeg skal acceptere, jeg skal gøre op nogle, okay, det er rigtigt,
fuck
det,
you, siger, man.
Ja. Hey, Mikkel, I don't like The Hobbit, I think it's a crap film.
Det er også fint, vi jo.
Oh, yes, yes, the group session is working.
Du har ret til at være dum.
So there we go.
Ved det der med, at man sidder og siger et eller andet forkert, og så er en, der så retter på en, og man så bliver sur. Du skal da være glad for, at du bliver rettet på dig, fordi at du ikke går ud og siger alle de dumme ting alle mulige andre steder.
The earth is flat. I know it. But it's also because... I think it stems back from what I was trying to talk about from the beginning, was society has a massive control about how we think. And it starts with kids. You know, it's kids like, you know, oh, you're going to go home and cry to mommy?
No.
Or you have a shittier transformer. It's a blue one. Mine is gray. It's cooler. It's new one.
You have Starscream. I have Optimus.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because I'm the leader now. And it starts at a very, very early age. I think people just automatically get into this sick, diseased, I need to be something before I'm anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start building on this fake personality, and some people live whole life like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like this because my dad wants me to be like this. I'm like this because my mom wants to, or my wife, or my boss, or
girlfriend.
School, or whatever. And then, you know, you break down in tears at your pivotal moment in life and realize, I've done everything for everyone else except for me. And then... It's, you know, humanity's biggest disability is we don't live long enough to remember. If we lived 150 years and we are mature enough, like physically can work and do things as 20-year-old, then the 140-year-old who will have a long memory of how it used to be will tell the 20-year-old to sit the fuck down and relax.
Yeah.
But today... You know, the old people are made fun of, they're useless, no one takes them seriously. The old times when shamans and ancient tribes, they were wisdoms. They had respect for the elders. And today, the complete accomplishment from the governments was to make people disconnect from each other. You know, kids are stupid, old people are useless. So the focus group is between 20 to 40. Who are the active group. Because those are the ones who become politicians, doctors, and they're the easy ones to control. The kids, fuck them. We'll build on those to make them kind of susceptible to later years. And the old people, they're forgotten. They're useless now.
Jamen altså, jeg har en sjov historie med også det der med ældre. Du ved, at jeg var engang over i Superbest, og jeg havde sådan lidt travlt. Du ved, jeg var sådan, jeg gider. Og så var der sådan en ældre mand, der sådan tog fat i mig. Du ligner sådan en ung, frisk mand der er klar på lidt eventyr. Jeg var sådan,
carry my bag. That's your adventure.
Men det var, fordi han havde en søn, der arbejdede i Norge. Så kunne man gå ind på det der internet og kigge, og så kunne man kun ud og sejle kajak og sådan noget. Jeg var sådan lidt, men det er jeg sgu ikke rigtig interesseret i. Men han havde også sejlet dengang, da han var ung. Du ved, dengang under 2. verdenskrig begyndte han så. Og så var sådan lidt, okay, 2. verdenskrig, har du ved, hvad lavede du der? Så fortalte han så, at han sejlede jøder ud af landet til Sverige. Og så havde han våben med tilbage til modstandsherren. Og han hørte ikke så godt på hans ene øre, fordi han blev angrebet af stukkerfly en aften og sådan noget. Jeg var bare sådan... Altså lige pludselig så var der gået næsten en time, hvor vi havde stået i Superbest og snakket. Ikke? Og hvor jeg bare sådan lidt, hvor tit så tænker man nemlig det der, sådan en gammel en, gider ikke høre på dig, mand. Men,
they're a living history.
Jamen det er det.
Det er det jo.
It doesn't matter that it's one part, one aspect or perspective from some great historic event.
Mm.
The man was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he has... the ability to talk to you, and you should have the ability to listen.
Yeah.
But nobody listens anymore.
Right.
Not even kids to each other, you know. People say, so how you doing? Most say, yeah, I'm cool. And inside they're crying and are depressed. Yeah. But they don't want to hear. Someone says, well, actually, I feel like shit. Because like, oh, cool, I'll call you later.
Yeah.
Like, hey, dude, I just tell you that I just don't feel good.
Og det er sjovt, ignorance det der med, at hvis du spørger en, hvordan går det? Jamen, så skal du sgu også være forberedt på, nemlig, at personen siger, går fandme ikke særlig godt for tiden. Prøv lige at høre. Og så er det nemlig der, det har jeg ikke lige tid til.
And that's one of those things that I experienced in the UK that I hated. It was, they have, instead of saying hello, they have this saying of...
Hello, governor.
Oh, God, yeah, they say, what the fuck is that? Like,
I don't want to shine your shoes, matey. What they say is, you're right.
You're right.
You're right, mate. It's like, do I look sick?
Yeah.
I'm getting worried now. Am I pale? I might not need what I think I need, but help me out here. So anyway, they say, are you all right? It's a rhetorical question already there. Okay. They don't give a shit about you. You're right? Do I look, I need help or something? And if you say, yeah, actually, I'm okay, but I had, like, constipation this morning, but okay, goodbye.
Yeah. All right.
And it's like, fine. So I think it's really bad that people have become so intolerant towards each other. Forget about the whole, you know, promotion about hate Jews, hate Muslims, and hate whatever is not the same color.
Just hate people.
It's become that. Hate people. You know, just like your neighbor is like waking up because he's got like a bad stomach ache, and it's 4 a.m, he has massive diarrhea, and he shits around, and you can hear it. You start becoming angry. Oh, fuck, man, you woke me up. You have no respect. You know, those moments are fine. But then the other group are the people who play loud music and don't give a shit about anybody else. It's about me. It's all about me. It's like, how are we ever going to get past this? How can we become good again if everyone's independently...
Doing it right now, Stephen. Doing it right now.
The cult began here.
Yes, sir. With the leader, Eagle Droppings.
Eagle Dropping. Big Bear. And reads a lot and sweats a lot.
And we'll have a guy in there, sweat lodge.
Yeah, starting to hallucinate.
Behind you is a squirrel.
Yeah.
Tame it and become one with it.
I got excited.
You know,
I'm a spirit animal.
Oh, God.
Kiss my thumb. I think one of those things that I'm imagining. For anybody who's... This episode is more about ayahuasca and related to it. So it might as well become an ayahuasca special too. But I think...
And we also talked about some cultures.
Some.
Hold on with psychedelics.
I think my imagination of a journey in ayahuasca is very closely related to...
So I took a forestill at it.
I think I'm pretty good at it. I've always been good at it.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you that, you know yourself and then you'll know most things if you're honest with yourself. And I believe what it would do to me is the same situation that anyone here has probably had in their dreams when you wake up sweating in panic because you had a nightmare and you were freaking out about a puppy. And it makes no sense because you wouldn't. But in your dream, you're panicking, and you're freaking out, and you're totally sweating, and you lost it. But in your dream, is because in that one moment, your mind says, it's about fear. You have to let go. You have to get it out of your system. You have to experience it. And it doesn't make sense, because you don't fear dogs or puppies or anything. But in this dream, it was freaking you out. And I think that's what happens in ayahuasca. Things that you want to prepare yourself that, you know, I'm not going to freak out about, you know, whales because that's my phobia or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. You could invite it. You could invite it. But I think actually something... Yeah, I think it's going to be something else. I think it's going to be something totally trivial, like someone who has no problems with snakes would be petrified in this one. Because in your journey, it's not about what you see. It's your reaction to it. And it doesn't matter what it is. Mm. It can be a pencil. It doesn't matter. Because some people...
Oh my God.
Yeah, some people talk about something they were freaking out about, which made no sense. So it's very closely resembled to your dream. At which point you wake up and you think, why the fuck was I so freaked out about this? I don't care. I'm not afraid of it now. Mm. Why was I so afraid of it in my dream? So just imagine that.
Altså, jeg har ikke selv oplevet det, det som du snakker om. Det er ikke sådan, at jeg lige ved.
I en drøm, eller hvad?
Ja, men sådan, hvor jeg har haft nøje over, altså, jeg ikke normalt har haft nøje over.
Jeg var en gang nede i en kammerats have, hvor hans kat havde fanget sådan en lille fugleunge. Og hvor min kammerat, han var sådan, nej, vi skal gøre et eller andet. Så sagde jeg, men vi skal, altså, hvad skal vi gøre? Mm. Kan du tage den fra her og sætte den derop? Så sagde jeg, men katten fucking hopper bare derop og æder den senere. Altså, hvis vi skal lade naturen gå sin gang, så skal vi bare lade den der kat æde den, men der går der måske lige en halv time, hvor vi skal sidde og kigge på det herude i haven.
Mm.
Og så var jeg sådan til sidst, og jeg kunne heller ikke holde ud, så gik jeg hen, og så tog jeg den der fugl ned i en plastikpose. Og så kan jeg huske, at jeg står med den der sten der, og skal til at slå den der ihjel, og den kigger lige op og siger sådan en lyd der, og så du ved, så smider jeg den der sten ned over, og den dør med det samme, du ved. Men der havde jeg sådan et par nætter, hvor jeg drømte med sådan en kæmpe fugl, du ved, der sådan hakkede efter mig. Og der havde jeg nogle af dem der, hvor jeg vågnede sådan, og var sådan helt, hvad sker der, mand? Altså, hvad?
Yeah, because it's almost like, yeah, exactly. It's almost kind of pathetic that you would feel that way, but in your dream, you're like completely surrendered to fear.
Yeah,
so
exactly. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention is the metaphors we live with today. I mean, the old days, everything was a metaphor. That's how we spoke. Native Americans, they were talking about giant eagles and the sun speaking to them. Most of these things were metaphors to a message. And I think because metaphors, we use them daily. I think it's a better tool than saying, you know that one time when you went outside and the sun hit your face and you were like a kid? Yeah. No, not really. I don't know. Maybe. But that's a little bit like too specific and doesn't really relate to many people. But if you do it as a metaphor, then it's like telling a story, and then your mind kicks in and starts interpreting it your way. Yeah. And then the metaphor works. Could be about fear, about teaching something to someone, and that's how it works. And in the old days, metaphors were visual. You know, the pictographs, the fairy anthropes, the you know, the half-human, half-animal. All these things were metaphors to communicate with the mind that was a little more open and free. Now, today, we have to deconstruct everything. Mm. You know, we have to explain it. You know, the George Lucas complex, you know, suddenly, you know, the Jedi power was free-flowing and everything in the universe was connected and it was beautiful. And people... Yeah, it was connected and made people special, right? But then he made the new ones and he demystified it. He just said, nope, it's midichlorians and you can count them. Apparently this little asshole has more than Yoda. Okay, so... So it's like we want to always tell what things are. But sometimes we really shouldn't.
Sometimes you should... Overfortolker.
Yeah. Du kan godt lade det være ved mystikken, ikke? Exactly. For også folk til selv at tænke.
Yeah, and I think the metaphors in ancient times worked... longer lasting metaphors were giving birth to folklore, folk tales and legends, you know. There's a really good Hallmark film about a Native American. I know it sounds really bad, but it's a really good film about Native Americans, about an old guy who's close to death and he needs to go to his one last powwow, and he takes the young grandson with him because he has to drive him. So it's kind of like a road trip movie, but the grandpa tells Native American folk tales.
On the way to...
Yeah, and you see that. Okay. So it's, some of them is really beautiful, like how the summer and the winter and the summer goddess came and took the child and because of the sacrificial situation. All these beautiful stories are spoken with metaphors. And it's just like given this.
Like this. You can't be taken seriously unless the bear talks to you first.
God, it's always about the bear. But,
maybe you like bears.
Maybe I like
the gate bear term. Paw.
Gate, oh God. You had to ruin it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, the metaphors are constantly used. And I think... although we use it subconsciously sometimes, because that's our best way to tell stories, I think it's becoming a lost art. Arc? I meant art. Now, the air, lack of air in here is starting to get to me too now. But, we're getting to the part where I think people usually are really poor at explaining their feelings, their thoughts, and connecting with another person, because they just don't know anymore. So, it's something people should work on to start learning again how to communicate. I'm not saying that you should use metaphors for everything. Honey, could you please go out and, like the eagle, snatch from the egg, lift it under the bridge, and lay an egg? And I would like to have some ketchup with that too, please. What? So, but I think we don't convey emotion. That's why I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But
det er i hvert fald svært, men det er altså jeg vil ikke sige jeg har svært ved det. Jeg synes det er svært at finde nogen som man kan gøre det med. Altså at der, jeg synes der skal lidt mere til før man stoler på nyfundne mennesker og venner eller whatever.
I mean like for instance when I met Mikkel, it was when we started the show. It was I mean, I had nightmares for days.
Yeah.
No. Who is this man? No, but we kind of hit it off because we started talking naturally. And it was like, we don't have this whole bullshit. Like, yes, and I also completed a school, and I worked here and did that and all that crap. You know, the social norm of,
yeah.
I am this in society. Who are you?
Og jeg tjener så meget.
Yeah, oh God.
Det var
like,
bare games, podcast, Robin.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, the good thing was that we connected on all those terms that were relevant to a human being. The values, the beliefs. The interest and passions, because when you strip away everything, we're really simple.
Just two naked guys.
Oh,
yeah, that's
you ruined it again.
It's sick, isn't it? It's like, this is what happens to
Big Bear under really bad situations.
But I think generally I would like to have people be a little more open and honest.
Helt sikkert.
And while we can be like
med
that,
de der masker på, du ved,
yeah, but like we're like this is fine. But then unfortunately society is dictating everything else. The opposite comes out.
Yeah, det er ikke sådan der du skal være. Du skal være sådan her.
You know, if you can't buy Canadian Goose jackets now for 8,500,
sidste måneder i hvert fald, du skal ikke det der, du skal det her.
Everybody seems to know what you should do, but yeah, they don't do shit about themselves.
Yeah.
Which is another one of those really annoying things about humanity is that they want to always tell you what to do.
Mm.
Nobody knows you.
Foran egen dør.
Yeah.
Du skal i hvert fald ikke fortælle mig, hvad...
Nej. Altså, hvem er du, siden du kan, hvad hedder det, sætte begrænsninger på naturen og sige, den her plant, den må du ikke røre, men den her plant må du godt plukke.
And how many people have you met that you can see while you're talking to them in their eyes? It's like
alle
a computer
dem,
is about to explode because they're trying to figure out what box to put you in.
Yeah.
And if they can't, they'll be like, fuck this, whatever, you say, I don't care.
Og også alle dem, jeg har snakket med, som ikke ryger weed, du ved, og er store modstandere af det, de har jo den der mentalitet om, det er ulovligt, og det er farligt, du ved, det er gateway drug, og du ved... De kigger aldrig ind på dem selv, og så hvor mange bajer har du drukket? Du ved.
Well, you know, it's as
samtidig siger jeg godt må drikke øl.
Yeah.
Så dem drikker der bare masser af. Vi ses, bror.
Ja, yeah, jeg bliver simpelthen nødt til.
The man's gonna wet himself. We need some moisture here.
Men det er også ved at være hen mod slutningen, er vi ikke?
Yeah, we are. We are.
Men vi kan lige så godt lige snakke lidt, indtil han kommer tilbage, så vi alle sammen kan sige farvel.
Sure. I mean, there is a lot more we can talk about, as always. There's so much more, but when there's three people talking about these things, we bring up the relevance of the topic and what it means to us. And although we...
Og igen til jer, som har meninger og diskussionsemner og whatever, skriv til os, man. Send et eller andet noget feedback.
Yeah.
Du behøver ikke skrive en mail til os, man. Bare send en kommentar.
Mm.
Jeg synes det der det var lidt mærkeligt i afsnittet.
Yeah,
og så kan vi forklare det der.
Exactly. You want more or less or you know, we said this before, but just, you know, interact. We know you're listening. I mean, I was looking at the stats yesterday and there's still new people coming on. There's quite a few from.
Hvad med Mia fra Chicago? Er hun der stadig? Er hun lavet
flere? I wouldn't know. There's no more. No, she hasn't commented.
Jeg vil godt give et shout out til danskerne i Chicago. Det synes jeg er fedt.
Yeah.
Det
yeah.
synes jeg er rigtig fedt.
I have a suspicion.
Og ni hao og til,
exactly.
til alle jer andre.
Exactly. So, it's always an interesting topic, and because this is one of those things that is, you know, either you have a lecture, then one person talks forever, or you have a debate, or you have a conversation, because we're three people today, and we all share certain things that we agree upon, we validate each other's claims. And also, there's the lack of air that makes us kind of trail off easily.
Nej, jeg synes ikke, det var sådan. Først lige nu, det er sådan.
Yeah.
Først nu, jeg sådan virkelig kan mærke varmen. Altså, it's heating up.
But,
det kan godt være, for eftertiden, når vi laver sådan nogle lange afsnit, så skal vi have sådan en eller anden aftalt pause. Eller sådan eller anden, så vi lige kan air out, eller sådan noget.
But yeah, but it's, again, you know, it's a driven topic, so it's hard to detach yourself for 20 minutes. Because then you get back into it, it's like, what are we going to do?
Where the fuck were we?
Exactly, and there's so many things that we can talk about.
Eagle droppings? No.
Well, you know, I had to come up with something.
All right, well, then, don't compliment.
Yes, of course. It's you know, the Blackfoot Nation.
I haven't seen Little Bighorn in Dustin Hoffman.
No, I haven't, but I heard it's very good.
Det er den helt sikkert. Det var, jeg troede, det var sådan noget ala Danse med Ulve og sådan noget, men det er noget helt andet. Altså, jeg kan ikke huske, om han er skuespiller der eller et eller andet, men han ender i hvert fald ved sådan nogle indianer. Jeg kan ikke huske, hvorfor. Den er lang. Jeg tror, den er 2,5, næsten 3 timer.
Well, Dances with Wolves, you touch upon one of those things I wanted to mention.
Det er godt.
And that was actually...
And he's back.
I'll wait until he gets into the...
Det var noget med Kevin Costner is an asshole, og noget med...
Yeah, well, the thing is, the story is... The story is that Kevin Costner was awarded by the Native Americans on behalf of the efforts that he has done, although that's not much, because I can imagine just by making a film, it shouldn't be that big a deal. He got paid for it. But the nations, the American Native Americans, were rewarding him with a piece of land.
What?
As a thank you. Yeah, and that he brought awareness or something. Although he's the actor, hello? He's not the one who made the film. Nevertheless, they rewarded him with a piece of land. That Kevin Costner, the douchebag that he is... No, a golf course.
Hey, man.
Yes.
For the rich and famous. Hvad havde det med beads at gøre? Du skrev noget med noget beads, eller er det bare mig?
Beads?
Ønsketænkning.
I don't know what beads you're talking about, boy.
I don't know either.
It sounds really kinky, though, but...
Så byggede han golfbanen.
Yeah.
Siger beads, så tænker du anal beads, som det første.
I did not think about that, but whatever.
Det var da smukt.
And that's like, you know, slap in the face. It's like, we give you this natural, you know, we're all about nature and and stuff. And he's going to fucking, you know, I'm going to take this part of the wood. Let's cut the trees, all of it.
Yeah.
Don't leave a branch.
So I can park
and any
my car
animal is, well, bring your gun.
Yeah.
And we're going to make some golf courses here, because that's, you know, I'm sure that the Native Americans 1,000 years ago would love that.
Men det er fedt, som du siger, at det er jo ikke engang ham, der har skrevet eller instrueret.
Yeah.
Eller jo, han har instrueret den. Ikke?
Has he?
Jo,
I'm not even sure.
Jo, den har han instrueret. Så måske...
Burn.
Oh, burn, really? Burn?
Men om han har...
så fra mig, for...
Han har i hvert fald ikke været med til at skrive den, tror jeg ikke.
No way.
Men han... Jo, han har instrueret. Det var jo der, hvor han sådan startede hans...
Hans three-hour epics.
Jamen, det er det.
The Postman, in real time.
Han Postman, jeg har virkelig overvejet at se den her
really?
På Netflix. Jamen, bare fordi, jeg kan slet ikke huske.
Altså, en dybe handling er en postmand, der deler post ud i et post-apokalyptisk verden, ikke?
Nå, det lyder lidt fedt.
Det lyder virkelig
langt. Director altså,
Kevin Costner. Jeg vil godt se den, fordi jeg vil gerne vide, hvad fanden problemet bliver, ikke? Altså, posten kan ikke komme ud!
Ja.
Eller sådan noget.
Nej, men det er jo sådan, så får familierne, de får de der breve der, og så får de closure. Det er sådan noget. Beautiful.
Så det er drama, eller?
Oh, it's one of those things, you know, the postman comes like, after going through mountains and terrains, like, I give this letter to you. It's from your son. She opens up.
I'm dead.
Hi, mommy. I am so happy I made it. Meet me here when the August summer something comes. And then she's like, yeah, he's alive. Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's winter.
Yeah.
You're late, motherfucker. And of course...
But I killed 4 horses to come here.
Yeah, horses. What was that story about one of the stores here were selling horse meat?
Yeah.
Jeg ved ikke,
hvad det var for
noget
mad.
How
did
they
even manage?
De snakker om, det er den baltiske mafia, der er indover, du ved.
Oh,
og det nye,
shit.
Det var æselkød, måske i nogen...
Æsel?
Hvor det bare sådan, okay, økologisk.
I don't like eating ass.
But you know...
Okay.
But I
ass donkey man. Come on.
I get it. Yeah. But the funny part is though that I'm sure most people wouldn't have a clue what the fuck they're eating.
It's like
I've had horse. It does taste good.
Og det er sådan set næsten kun i Danmark. Det er ikke.
Yeah.
Men der er jo også stor forskel, bare hvis du tager vildt, altså en kronhjort, og altså der er jo kæmpe forskel.
Jeg snakkede rensdyr fra Grønland på et tidspunkt.
Okay.
Fuck. Det smagte mærkeligt.
Det var sådan helt... Greenland, they have that animal in Greenland.
Jeg var på...
Ja, but they had... Jesus, I thought they are just seals.
Jeg var på ferieøerne med min folkeskole. En gang, da jeg gik i 8.
Ja, det vil jeg så til gengæld ikke.
Og der fik vi grindeval og spæk og tørfisk og forhjerne smeltet i smørsauce. Ja, jeg var også bare sådan, det der...
I live like a savage!
Ja, og vores lærer, han var bare sådan, nu skulle vi skulle være høflige, og vi skulle smage, og han skulle gik han bare til lærer, og så tog han lige sådan en skefuld af et eller andet, og så kunne man bare se...
Det var ikke... Du ved, bare æde spæk, ikke, for en grindeval. Det er bare rent lavet fedt, du sidder og æder, mand.
Det er
sådan, det er resten af tingene, der vinder. Yeah. Eller andet. Yeah. Et eller andet, man, i stedet for
bare... Jeg tror, det er sådan noget, man skal være vokset op med.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, even if you go to another country, it doesn't matter that you're used to eating this kind of beef. If the beef has different whatever, it might have an effect on you.
Anderledes. Græsset er anderledes.
Well, there's steroids in American beef, so stay away from that one.
Præcis. Jeg hører også Rogan, de snakkede om, at de vil lave sådan en on-it hunting farm, et eller andet snakkede han om med Aubrey.
Fedt.
Hvor det kun er i snakkestadien, men det kunne være helt vildt fedt, og så kunne komme derop og jage og æde sit eget kød og sådan noget.
Det gad det heller ikke. Pumpet fuld af korn.
Nej, præcis, så det, så det grass-fed, du ved, og så har han reservat, hvor de selv æder, du ved.
I can imagine this headline in the New York Post, like, man found embedded into the stomach of a reindeer. He was reenacting Star Wars Episode 5.
High while hunting. Jeg skulle køre den længere.
I actually have that audio clip without anything, like the actual recording. You want it? I can send you that as a message.
Yeah, we could have some SMS.
Yeah? Right, I'll do that. I'm going to forward it because I have it now. It's ridiculous, man.
Og hvad er det? Det er ikke... Hvad fanden er det, der er de der dyr der?
Tauntauns!
Ja, ja, men i Family Guy, der er det sådan en eller anden karakter. Oh, der er
jo... Eller en nyhedsvært, tror jeg. Ja.
God, who came up with that? Lucas.
Jamen, det var også godt, man.
Those days were good.
På de første tre.
But I gotta be honest with you, man. I didn't get it. I was actually re-watching Star Wars with my girlfriend the other day, and I love watching Episode 5, and... In the third one, Luke...
I thought you were going to
cry,
man.
Yeah, I was like... Yeah.
I love that.
When he told
suck
him
it up,
father.
Suck it up, man. No, it's... It was... In the final episode, Luke asks Leia... Do you remember... No, yeah, well, Episode 6.
Okay.
He asks Leia, do you remember your mother? She says, I was very young, but I remember she was sad. Correction, bitch. Your mom died moments after you were given birth to.
Oh. Fordi at hun er så ked af det.
We're so sad.
Så so det er genetic memory.
Genetic memory, my ass.
Det er bare dig, der har siddet og preachet om det hele.
I thought they smelled bad. On the outside.
Den skal jeg have, den sender du til med samme.
How about this one?
It's a trap!
Oh, dem er fandme også gerne.
Admiral Akbar.
Oh yes, the beautiful man.
Jeg sendte dem alle sammen.
I will. I have quite a few.
Skal vi lukke ned, eller hvad? Nu sidder vi bare og kavler.
No, we do. We're just, you know, good times.
Yeah.
Did you have any strange news or something?
Ikke lige på toppen af mit hoved, nej.
How about this one? There was a man, a Japanese man. Of course, this is Asia. I think it was Japanese. Although it was in Asia somewhere. His son was so often online that he had to hire a virtual hitman to go in.
Var det måske den anden søn til
en virtual hitman?
A virtual hitman in the game he was playing to go in, who had like super skills, and murder his son's character so he could go out and get a job.
Det er genialt.
That was like, whoa, man.
Hvis min søn er for meget, så bliver jeg
virtual hitman. Det er lidt ligesom det der, de gjorde i World of Warcraft, hvor de holder begravelse derinde. Man må ikke tage våben med, og så er de der horder der, de angriber bare, og folk de hopper rundt, og man ser, de prøver at skrive,
what are you doing? Bare, fuck,
exactly.
Man,
jeg
er her. Der er 100 her. Det fedeste, det er optakten, synes jeg, med at man ser, de går rundt der, og, oh, I'm sorry, og så klipper det over til, så kan man bare se, de kommer løbende, bare,
Leroy!
Når man selv har spillet,
type in your email.
Så ved man bare, hvor meget folk de elsker det der.
Ja.
It's just like, it's just ridiculous how the world is today. It's like, I have to kind of always put this into perspective where if you met someone from 1500s, right? And he was working on his field and, you know, woke up in the morning, took care of the animals and went to bed at 7 or 8 because he did a lot of work. And I would tell him that we pay to go to the gym to lift shit, to get in shape. He'd be like, you pay for that shit? Yeah. What?
I just work.
Nobody gets better, sir. We have people pay money that they work for to pay virtual shit that doesn't exist. You buy Smurf berries.
Yeah.
Because farm you need to. You have a virtual farm that you don't really own with little Smurf green or blue men. Berries. And then you buy berries. And then he says, can you plant them? You plant them and you can cheat so they grow faster. Magical beans? No. It's virtual.
You just pay more.
It doesn't exist, really.
Hvad så, jeg tænker, er det måske synden til ham, som døde af game i 40 timer straight?
I doubt it.
StarCraft. No, må være broren. Broren har bare siddet og spillet
this
videre.
This is my favorite game.
This one will I call myself later this year. What was it? StarCraft.
Man. Yes.
All right.
StarCraft, man.
Hot and heavy.
Hot and heavy, boy. So, from us, I would like to thank everybody who's been listening, and a big thanks to
Jacob, Reezalot, and Sweatsalot, and Peasalot.
Hey, you went to the toilet. You were gone for like 7 hours.
Yeah, so
it felt like that in this room. Thanks a lot for joining us, man. It's a pleasure as always.
GameOverShow.podomatic.com. Guldjakke på Twitter. Mikkel Slamovi på Twitter.
Twitter.
This is verbal salad, ladies and gentlemen.
I hate salad.
You hate salad, boy.
I ain't tossing that shit.
Let's virtually toss that shit.
That's it. Shut up. Let's stop it. I'm dying here, man.
Yeah. Game over, man.
Game over, boys and girls.
What is most missing from our world is magic, is enchantment. We are seething with hatred and fear and suspicion of fellow human beings. What is missing is love. You know, it's not a shortage of oil or a shortage of water or a shortage of material resources that's going to do the human race in. It's a shortage of love. Absolute shortage of love. That's the problem with our world today. We need to return, I believe, to this enchanted universe and reclaim our birthright and reassert our right as adults, doing no harm to others, to have control and sovereignty over our own consciousness. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We used to believe in the good old days. We still receive in little ways the things of kindness an unsporting brow forget and allow.